Hello and welcome to episode 163 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian and I play whatever.
This is Chad and I play Trolls.
This is Lance, I play Cater.
This is Crump and I play Circle and Rhett.
This is Keith and I'm playing mostly Cricks.
Sweet.
So, we're going to start with some news and announcements. There is a... If there weren't enough tournaments in St. Louis for you already, I have good news. There's another tournament in St. Louis. It's the Gateway Open. St. Louis War Machine Weekend Qualifier, May 9th through the 11th. So this is a con/mini-con.
Sweet.
Three-day event. $25 for pre-registration or $30 at the door. There's a phone number here that I will not read. Friday events are a Mangled Metal Tooth and Claw. And an open play Iron Arena. So actually, okay, so there's no reason to come on Friday. Saturday. I'm sorry. No, if you want to play, I'm sure there will be hanging out and boozing on Friday.
Yeah.
That's
what we're talking about.
Saturday events, War Machine Weekend Qualifier. Registration starts at 8 a.m.
All right, Simpson.
Hold up. No, whoa.
Did you have anything, Tim? Really? Right, listen, this is a public service announcement. If you want us, specifically us, or anybody,
Reg 10, Dice 11.
Yeah. If you want us to come to your tournament, we do not get up at 7 at the crack of dawn. We don't get up at 6:30 in the morning so we can go to a tournament at 8.
I mean, in my two cents of this. Keith, the other day when we were talking about some tournament that was at like 8 a.m. or something, you were just like, blah, 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 blah. I thought back to my days of Magic the Gathering, and I was like, 8 a.m. is that's normal for Magic. I'd be like, I have to make it to Omaha at 7 a.m. registration, 8 a.m. start. We're leaving games at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's crappy Magic. You're used to getting...
Yeah, so...
You're used to having the worst of everything.
Yeah, so Tim, don't turn War Machine into Magic the Gathering.
Exactly. Exactly.
Damn it, Tim.
The qualifier is a 50-point Death Clock Steamroller 2014 event. There also that day will be a Youngblood 35-point Steamroller 2014 tournament. Registration is a reasonable 10:30. The start time is 11.
I'm playing the Youngbloods.
Yeah, apparently Youngbloods start late, and then War Machine just gets way worse for them.
Saturday.
For people not in the know, Youngblood tournaments are geared towards newer players that I think that they don't strictly enforce time limits on their turns. They have simpler scenarios set up. Like, it's a really good tournament to go to and play in if you are new.
It's a fantastic first tournament. And yeah. No, Chuck, you cannot play in the Youngbloods tournament.
But John can.
That evening.
Yeah, of course, John. Can.
There will be.
Nigel told me I was the worst player he's ever seen.
I believe that.
I'm just guessing that this is in the evening.
Yeah, it's on the second
time. Yeah, 7 p.m. Okay. Yep. A Stu's the Boss event. This is a Who's the Boss event run by Stunami, the great Stu.
Oh, man, I know how to totally bomb this event.
You'll be playing a
right
40.
Before-
Let me.
All right, sorry.
You'll be playing a 40-point army. Registration starts at 7 p.m. Games will start at 9.
Right before this event, I'm going to go up and tell Stu that your character is dark. And then I'm just going to leave.
It's a dark sense of humor.
Yes, he has a dark sense of humor.
I don't get it.
I don't
know. There was a role-playing thing that we did at War Machine Weekend 2 years ago where we were just given quick character sheets, and the only thing Stu knew about his character was that he had a dark sense of humor.
Oh, okay.
So what he interpreted from that was that he was a psychopathic sadist that liked to burn down houses and murder people and make my life miserable.
right, okay.
Very clearly.
Yeah.
On Sunday, the War Machine Weekend Qualifier Finals. Dice start at 9 a.m. Pairings will be at the tables by 8:30.
Ugh.
And a de-escalation steamroller event starting at 9:30 a.m.
What's a de-escalation steamroller?
You start at 50 points, then the next round you bump down to 35, and then 25, and then 15, and usually it's over by then.
Huh. So the qualifier on Saturday must feed some number of players into Sunday. It doesn't say how many.
I'm going to guess it's a top 8, but it might be a top 16.
Yeah.
But I'm going to assume an 8.
We will find out.
But yeah, you have to keep the same list.
We will find out.
Gotcha.
Okay. Reminder, there's a 4-pack event that will be run in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. On episode 162, we had more information about that. The exact dates, I think, are available on our forums. And another reminder for our Vengeance release event in Des Moines, Iowa. Does anyone remember the date for that?
23rd.
Yeah, it's a Sunday, March.
It's a Sunday.
Yeah, it's a Sunday.
There is no specific tournament that we're running for that. We're going to do some scramblers there, but mostly it's a day to hang out, play some games. There are some prizes that you can earn through playing some casual games, as well as if you want to come down to hobby.
Yep.
That's something you can do there
and
as well.
And the entry fee has been raised to $10.
Yeah.
There also might be a legit tournament.
Yeah. No, Krupp might run a legit tournament. We may do a couple scramblers. It's going to be a great time for sort of an all-day event.
I heard that there might be a car from Madison.
Ooh. This is exciting. Getting into the crunchy bits of today's episode, we now have all of the information available from the Vengeance book for us. There wasn't a lot left. But what there was, we now have. So we're going to go through some of that and give our first impressions, which, of course, will be 100% accurate, as they always are.
Right.
They always are.
Xeris has...
That was John's impression.
Of course, of course.
Hey, I was the only one that called Epic Vale an A.
She's not an A. Her theme force is what makes her an A.
She's legitimately an A caster. I called that, and everybody forgets that.
I think 0.6 points up is what makes her an A caster.
I've seen her play out of theme just fine.
Okay, so we have the Signar, all the Warjacks we have. There was Warjacks were basically what was missing. We have the Reliant for Signar. This is an interesting Warjack. I'm not blown away, nor am I instantly nauseous with disgust. It's on the Stormclad chassis, but without any armor bonus, so it's a 12-18, which is not super exciting.
Super squishy.
Its gun is good. Range 12, power 13, and it leaves behind a lightning storm. So I'm assuming that when it's placed, it does not do damage under that
doesn't.
AoE, like the Wold Wrath.
Yeah, like the Sad Wrath.
Yeah. Yep. So the gun is okay. The gun is fine.
It's definitely interesting with all of the, like, sort of... Signar now has access, even more access to easily placeable. Your infantry cannot go here zones.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Stormwalls and Black 13th and now this.
Allow me to predict the reaction of the Signar forums.
Power 10!
Power 13!
But then
with some
on
the direction.
But then it does tense.
Yeah. Man, that kills infantry?
The Pulse Hammer is its weapon. It's a PS-17. On a critical hit, it puts down a 4-inch AoE centered on the model hit. Any enemy models in that AoE not immune to electricity?
It's all models.
All models.
All models. Not immune to electricity.
I'm assuming the Jack is then immune to
electricity. Yes, he is.
Yeah. Stormclads are immune to electricity,
All non-electrical immune models become stationary. And it only costs 8 points.
Yeah, the point cost is pretty much the only reason this thing will potentially see.
Immediately chuck it in the bin.
Right.
Yeah,
It's now the second stationary effect in the game that can affect non-cold immune models, or cold immune models, rather.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they built this guy for Striker 3, right? Because it gains assault? And it has a... Doesn't he have Iron Aggressions for boosted hits so you can get that Pulse Hammer humming?
He does have Iron Aggression.
This is pretty good for Striker, actually.
Yeah, it's not terrible for him.
Speed 7 with Escort.
Yeah.
And Fury makes it hit a respectable POW plus strength 20.
So this thing is like minus 1 POW on everything from making me like it. If the gun was POW 14, if the Pulse Hammer was POW 18.
If all of those were things, it would be like a 10 point.
If only Signar had the Choir.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, with the Choir, this thing is legit.
That's coming down.
What's the range on the gun? 12?
12.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is a solid, like, that's a very good...
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Good range.
It's fine.
I think it will see play occasionally because it's 8 points.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really good, like, single jack, low point cost.
What? Isn't the Reckoner...
Yeah.
POW 13, POW 17 in melee?
Yeah.
And I'd only range like it 12. Because... I wouldn't like it if I didn't have the Choir.
Yeah.
But it has reach.
Reach is important.
I honestly would not like it if I didn't have the Choir. Mm-hmm. I actually would not like the Reckoner.
Yeah.
No, I mean obviously. What's cute is if you look at the Defender with Striker, it's basically just a crappy Reckoner.
Yep. I just think it's interesting in light of the argument that, like, oh, well, you know, our jacks are worse than everyone else's jacks. Before the choir.
Yes.
Well, okay.
It's like they're slightly balanced around that.
It is Mat 7, Rat 6.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so it's like already half choired.
I don't know.
What else? I think that the gun is good enough. Like, PAL 13 is not... PAL 13 is good, in my opinion.
They kill medium based on infantry.
Yeah.
For 8 points, anyway.
I'm not immediately struck by, like, oh, I want to play this jack in all these situations.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to find situations. Like that Striker 3 situation I just laid down, that's pretty good.
Haley to Pearl Acceleration, but two of those things with clouds down, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's you could take that thing and then a Stormwall on it with Haley and just be like, four circles that you can't walk in.
Yeah, PAL 12s from these, PAL 10s from these.
And turn on a Mage Storm.
Yeah.
there might be play with Nemo 3 or something like that, but otherwise you probably are always going to take like a Defender over this guy or just Stormwall.
I mean, I think...
Sturgis, maybe?
To pull guys in.
Oh, yeah, Sturgis.
Lulz.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think, like, Stormwall and Sturgis and this guy.
I mean, you could also
because the Stormwall can put out the lightning pod that he can then shoot to put his thing in the right spot.
Do you think that there's any potential shenanigans in getting a lot of work done, or in tricking people, but any tricks going along with the stationary effect? Like, people, is stationary much more valuable for Signar than it is for any other?
No, I mean, it's the same thing with the knockdown on the Avenger. It's like, hitting was never really our problem. Also, it's critical. So, it's critical on a non-reach weapon, so it's not like coming out of left field, like, oh, you're stationary, you never saw that coming, did you? It's like, I got the crit, I guess you're stationary.
I mean, stationary is so much better than knockdown, like, especially in a faction where, you know, you could charge it into a warjack, stationary it,
and then
disrupt it.
Yeah.
Storm Smiths or something like that, and then just, you know, get two turns of... I mean, then it's low power, it's not that big of a deal because you get twice the number of turns to be on it, or more if you stationary it again.
Yeah, so it's kind of a question of which casters then can most reliably trigger the stationary effect, and only Striker 3?
Or Nemo 1 by
or
five
Darius, I think.
Is Runewood Warrior model only?
Yeah. Yes.
For what?
Yes.
The boosted to hit and charge?
Yeah,
he doesn't boost to hit. He plus twos.
Yeah. Oh, he plus twos? I thought he gave an extra dice.
Plus
no,
two.
Plus twos. Cray also on his feet.
Cray's feet.
Is there a way for them to get an additional die? I was just wondering if they had, like, Hand of Fate anywhere, but I don't think
I
they
mean,
did.
The odds of crit... like, stationarying, like, a def 10 or 12 heavy is pretty high on your Mat 7 jack if you're rolling three dice with, like, Iron Aggression.
Yeah, it's, like, 35%.
Should be higher than that.
No, it's... John's right.
Yeah, that's pretty high. It's, like, 35%, so that's not reliable enough to build around, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not...
He's 8 points. I mean, his most attractive quality is his 8 points.
We'll give him this. He's 40, not the worst of the jacks we'll be talking about today.
It's 44% or 2, depending.
So what, are you going to give it like 6 out of a dozen oatmeal cream pies?
I'd say that's fair.
All right.
That's a fair one.
Oh, I love oatmeal cream pies. I see some over there.
Yeah. Shh, don't let them know where I'm getting my ideas from.
Oh my God, give me an oatmeal cream pie.
So the next one is the Inditer.
The
Inditer.
I think the C is silent.
It's in Victor,
no,
isn't it?
Definitely very well enunciated.
Josh is over here laughing at the name Indictor.
I honestly think that
how do you spell indict, Lance? Mr. Law School.
D-I-C-T.
Yeah. So the Inditer.
I believe it's the Inditer.
Nope.
I mean, but as much as I want it to be the Inditer.
How many of you guys called Gallant.
Gallant?
It's the Indictor.
The Indictor.
Gallant.
New rule. Consecration. Enemy models within 5 inches cannot cast, upkeep, or channel spells.
And that costs nothing. They
that
just
costs
do it
nothing.
All the time.
Has Sacred Ward. And now here's the part where we all scoop. Sword, PS 17, blessed, no reach, speed 4. Scoop.
No reach, no go.
8 points.
What I was telling Josh at the store before we came down here was I think this jack will be a really good late game jack because you'll be able to just sort of run it next to the enemy caster and they can't really do anything about it. They have to take a free strike from it or do nothing with their turn or just try and kill it. And, you know, a lot of casters can't afford to do that.
Although...
But my opinion of it is colored by the fact that I don't think Menoth really struggled in the late game anyway.
It has two rules that I like a lot.
Consecration, Blessed?
No, Blessed and Sacred Ward. I could kind of give a crap about Consecration. But Blessed and Sacred Ward, because it never needs the choir to target it for no spells. It does that on its own, which is always aggravating from my perspective.
Right.
Yep.
Agree.
He actually tag teams with the Avatar pretty well.
Yeah.
And being blessed is not something to scoff at.
He tag teams with the Avatar excellently. Like, if you can gaze their caster and consecrate them, and then they're just...
Lich is, like, trying to cast Teleport, and he's just fizzling. He's like, what's going on? No!
The problem is they really only have a run 8.5 inches off of that, so they only have a 13-inch really range of applying that consecrate.
Speed 4 hurts pretty bad.
It hurts really bad.
Maybe if you're a...
He's also armor 19, so...
He has a shield.
Would you play...
Oh, does he have a shield? So he's 21?
Yes, he has a giant shield in the artwork.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Hey. It's off the gardener. Off the guardian.
I actually like him a little better if he has sacred... I forgot about the shield, so...
Yeah, the shield is not listed on here, Colin.
I mean, I assume the giant duck-billed robot holding a giant shield has a shield.
I mean, let me double check this artwork.
It's pretty hard to miss. You guys.
No, he definitely has a shield.
In the artwork too,
he looks
sword,
really sweet.
The sword looked electrified. It was kind of weird. Like we were wondering what the rules were going to come with it when they just spoiled the
picture.
That's
blessed, apparently.
I guess that's
actually
a blessed
thing. The no reach glow.
The no reach glow.
No reach glow. Yeah,
the sword looked very similar to Avatar.
It does have a Mondo shield. So being armor 21 in the 8-point bracket as well. I'm willing to upgrade this above the Reliant.
You know what my favorite part about this jack is?
Armor 21 of Sacred Ward is really good.
If John plays it, he will have a giant duck-billed robot in his army.
Oh my god.
Like, the thing just has a giant duck bill.
Well, I forgot my duck call.
that's too bad. That's a shame.
You gotta cup your hands together. And
I like how Lance cut out half the duck whistles.
People loved the duck whistles.
It's tough to do. I need to remember mine next time. Okay, so yeah, this one, I'm warming up to it. I'm going to viciously hate seeing it every time I do.
God, the only
you're
thing
so
is, like,
it.
Still speed.
It's going to be annoying, but you're not going to hate it.
Like, it's got.
I guess. It won't kill that much infantry, I suppose.
I mean, it's another...
7.5 inches of threat.
That's just, the way that I see it is, it's another thing that I think Menoth is probably, the Protectorate armies are happy to have in their toolbox. Because if you're worried about certain specific matchups, like this is a jack that probably isn't going to see play 100% of the time, and it's probably not going to be useful in 100% of the matchups. But if you're worried about specific ones, like this one can definitely help.
Well, he's going to take care of Butcher 3 pretty well. At least stop him cold in his tracks. Maybe you have to deal with
it. It depends.
Impending
Doom is more than 5 inches of a pull.
No, it's
right?
5 inches exactly.
It's exactly 5 inches.
I thought it was 6 for some reason.
No.
But, it
extends that book range, at least for me, from a caterer perspective. I saw that thing, I was just like, ugh, this is when these, like, book extend range to make it even more risky to put Butcher in the middle of
Matt
all of that.
Matt 8, pound 19, blessed is kind of a beatstick, too.
That's kind of interesting. I'm still not sure, like, God, Menoth jacks at 8 points are so good.
Yeah, all the 8 point jacks are amazing. I mean, do I like this better than the Templar? Beatback. I lose Beatback. I gain
weapon.
Blessed. I gain Sacred Ward.
Losing Reach is
you lose
the big
Reach.
Deal.
Yeah. So I definitely...
Speed 4 with no Reach as players will tell you is...
Not the best.
Very
so
sad.
Also
what
no
about,
gun.
What about Krios 3?
But very much like what you were saying, late game is where the
Warpath
shine.
Warpath gives you a little more utility. It gives you utility to run and apply Consecration when you want to.
Oh, God.
At a decent range.
Yep.
You could Holy Ward him. Be legit.
16-inch consecration potential.
And then he also then gets a respectable 10.5 inches of threat. So I don't hate that as much. I still kind of hate it.
I think it's very interesting, and I'm glad that they finally have a rule named Consecration, so we don't have to worry about what that's going to mean down, you know, down the line.
I wish undead models took a point of damage within 5 inches of him. That'd be a better rule for Consecration.
This would be really bad.
Maybe that will be Consecrated Ground.
Could be.
I mean, the only other jacks... There's two other jacks in that faction that are speed 4, no reach, right? They just don't
Crusader.
See play. And then the Scourge of Heresy.
Oh, yeah.
Just an unplayable... I mean, he's got a palpable strike.
Yeah, well, I mean,
18 blast.
The Vanquisher weapons. Is speed 4, no reach, but it has a gun.
It has a gun.
So
blast and purgation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember exactly, because I've never seen one.
Well,
on
it's got Haley's Vortex Spear. Actually...
Yeah.
Can you play both of them together and be really annoying?
And the Avatar? Just have this giant battle group of...
Just this giant, like, warded. F you, Ron.
I mean, surprise,
the
Ron
choir
against Menoth.
That?
Doesn't the choir do that? Yeah. Well, now you can F you, Ron, and give +2 pow to all of your non-ranged.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure Ron's way happier about seeing that than a bunch of Vanquishers firing at him with the same effect.
No spells and no shooting, so the Mage Hunter Strike Force can go F themselves.
The Grula is the new Kador Warjack. It has Kodiak stats, so Kador Warjack stats, including
better.
Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
It has the Fleet rule, making it speed 6 for the cost of a focus for one round. Or 2 inches of movement, not speed.
Not speed. Yep.
Here's the interesting part. It's a rate of fire 5 autocannon.
How's that work, Keith?
Which has the double strike rule, Crump, so when you buy an extra attack... You get 2 for the price of 1.
Holy crap! Sign me up!
For just 3 easy payments of $19.99.
This is a steal!
But
Kano players will be lining up for this, Jack.
But wait, if you order now, we'll throw in Gunfighter and Virtuoso.
Oh my.
Have you thought about how good...
That was amazing.
How good Gunfighter, Virtuoso, and Ram all work together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
It's really cool.
The gun, by the way, is range 8, power 12.
It's a blunderbuss.
It's a blunderbuss, yeah.
It's a blunderbuss with rate of fire 5. It's the first jack in the game. Has rate of fire higher than its rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it'll probably be in that spot. That's probably forever.
Yeah.
Kador Industries. More explosions, less accuracy.
Explosion!
Just lay down.
So obviously, the first thing I thought of was both sources.
You're saying the Gruller was made by Torg?
Yeah.
Because you know, Sorsha just either one freezing gripping a unit and just having him go like kill 5 guys.
Yep. Yeah, I was thinking, and then if you give the she wouldn't even need to put a focus on him. He could kill 4 guys because she could freezing grip a unit, and then the Grey Lord.
The
power booster guy?
Yeah, the power booster.
The Colden Lord. Yeah.
Could power booster him so he could be like, you know, shoot twice by a shot, shoot twice.
His initial only gives him 1.
Yeah,
he
gives
him
3. So it gets the 5 because it gets the 1 initial shot, buy for 2. That's how it gets the 5.
Double strikes whenever you
spend focus.
That's what Morgan has.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep.
I thought he had rapid fire.
Nay, my lord.
So he'll get 3 or 5. Or 1, if you don't assign anything to him.
I just think, in a P-Sorcia list particularly, probably...
This Jack is another really interesting thought for
Malakov?
For the Journeyman.
Oh, yeah. I mean, red line plus fleet plus boundless charge.
Okay.
And these things can... with that Gunfighter Virtuoso, they can trample and shoot.
Nate was not overly impressed. He was...
Dang it.
When I was talking to him at the shop.
Wait. Nate was not impressed about a new Kador thing?
Yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah. You can trample and shoot, but I think better is the ability to charge one of your own models and still shoot out of that engagement, because that doesn't soak up your initial.
Right, that's true.
So on the red in the red line situation, like he's got a pretty serious threat range, because he can...
Spend 1.
He can spend... Does red line give a free charge?
It does.
No.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So fleet for 1 with red line on. So he charges 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11.
Yep.
11, and then shoots another 8, so it's 19 inches of threat.
Or charges, rams a guy.
19, 20 with ram.
20 if you ram. I don't think you can ram friendlies.
No, you can't.
You cannot.
So I'm just thinking about if you have to charge one of your own guys. On the back. So it's like Sorsha's like, freeze you. And then he's like, charge 11 inches, shoot 8, take 5 pi 12s, boom, 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 boom.
Yep, and you can boundless charge 2 if you need to.
Yep.
God, I was hoping. Let somebody else have to get the ram rule.
The nice thing about him being on a Kodiak too is Kodiak chassis too is that he's always got Pathfinder,
yep.
which is just just
nice.
So, yeah, he's definitely interesting. I actually some of my favorite parts about him are RAM and fleet. Fleet is such an interesting rule.
I do wish that they would have given like on one of these Kador Jacks someday that. They keep putting all these guns on and making them sort of ranged focused by not giving them reach or any like incredible melee ability.
make a better Cortex.
Yeah, just give it rat 5. Like, come on. Would it really break the faction?
No.
It would break this robot.
The other thing that's really cool about Fleet with him is he can still buy all of his attacks and still Fleet.
Yep.
So, you know, he's kind of an elegantly designed jack.
I mean, that's... Oh, my God. The amazing Zerkova synergy of having him ram something from Watcher. Oh, my God. Incredible.
Hold on. Let's make sure ram is
ram is almost
certainly
activation.
Hold. Hold, Zerkova. Stock going up. Hold on. Invest. Buy Zerkovas. Buy.
Wait. We haven't actually looked at it yet.
There's only one other model in the game that has ram, right? Which is...
The Guardian.
Scar has it as well.
Oh, Scar. Yeah. And now, isn't...
Ram hands. Yeah. Right?
Yep. When an enemy model is hit by this weapon, it is knocked down and can be pushed 1 inch directly away from this model. If it is pushed, this model can immediately blah, 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 move closer.
Bye!
It's your combo stock! Bye! She's legit now.
That's all it took.
That's all she needed.
That's all it took.
You heard it here, folks.
I mean, now she's basically
that
like...
That thing does fit in that tier, the Hunter Wolves tier, though.
She's like Veil 1 now.
Oh. Actually,
that
she's
jack,
got...
That jack fits in that tier.
She... actually runs that jack really well because she has a
icy grip
which makes it rank 6.
Yep.
Oh my god.
It's better. Playable.
Fixing Kador rats one poopy spell at a time.
After thinking about it a little bit more after talking to Nate, like, I'm not sure. It's clearly not going to change the faction like overly much, and it's not gonna,
no.
It's not going to break them wide open or anything. But I don't think it's a bad jack.
I feel that way about all these jacks, except for the best one. Like, that's going to.
I believe the only thing that this jack will be is a strong consideration for the jack you put on the journeyman.
Sure. I don't think that's bad either.
You can actually put him on the... Does he work on the Colden Lord route
booster? No, this is a focus-hungry jack. He wants 3. Like, because Double Strike only works when you spend a focus.
Right.
So it doesn't work from the Jack Marshall boost, and he wants, like, the fleet spend. Like,
so the power booster plus the Jack Marshall boost would not be enough to get it?
Any other sweet synergies with their casters? Like, maybe Vlad?
Vlad 1.
Vlad 1 is pretty good.
Makes him go forever.
Or, Hamkovich.
In sources.
Escorting. So if he escorts and fleets, he can charge 11 and a half and ram.
And he gets
Wait a minute. Karchev can tow him. He can aim.
His face was... That was perfect. Just immediately eyes droopy, staring straight forward.
Focus hungry.
I think probably the most exciting thing about this jack is that it has ram.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it makes Zerkova.
I agree with you, John.
Zerkova is so
correct.
Good.
And more insightful than
God damn it. I was like, oh, this is it's kinda nice not having Max not here, I'm not getting kicked in the nuts, and then the guy got kicked in the
Anybody that gives them like Energizer gives them a little extra threat so they can aim. So that would be Iris and Butcher 3.
The issue is that with the
Go ahead.
With the Energizer casters, there's not like enough focus left to fuel them.
Irisk is 7.
Irisk is 7, and early game Butcher doesn't usually spend a lot because he's only upkeeping if anything sounds to death.
Not casting.
And he's just kind of hanging out and camping.
Battle Lust seems pretty bad.
He just seems like he's a battle group model that is better against infantry than it is against... I mean, he can still play against heavy. He's a POW 18.
Right.
But Connor's so good at killing infantry. I mean, they're just...
Yeah.
They're just really good at it. I mean, you know, they're just like... Well, I took these Renegade, and I got Joe, so I kill all your guys. And that's how we do it.
Yeah. I have Widowmakers, so over two turns, one of your units is dead.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, we're talking about a whole bunch of jacks that are really B-minus war jacks. By
situational,
large, like situational. Sort of. You have to actively look for a way to make use of them.
I have to like think about models I put in my army, and not just take reckoners.
Well, I mean, a lot of the times you don't want, like, you don't actively go out of your way to be like, oh man, I really want to use this model. How do I shoehorn it in? Like, that's usually not the point at which you're like, yes, I've discovered it. Like, we've got the A+ model here because
if you do, it's usually a
example. The Trollblood forums. And trying to get the Mountain King to work.
Yeah, usually in those scenarios, it's a caster where you're like, I want this caster to work so badly.
Sometimes
it's a caster, so.
I mean, I call that panning for gold, and sometimes you find it.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, often you don't.
Sometimes you end up dead in the river.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's a history lesson, my girl.
I hope that the Kador faction players find something with this guy, just because, like, I like the idea of...
Yeah. Does he have a heavy bowler for the free run?
Nope.
No. That's the one thing that he lost from the Kodiak, right?
They had to get rid of something.
All of these guys have seems to have lost something. Like the Indictor... Indicted...
Lost
the Arc Node. The Reliant lost the...
And lost Crit Pitch.
Yeah. The Reliant lost the Accumulator. The Grolar lost the Heavy Boiler. And... Our next one, the Inflictor, lost Aggressive and a Mat and Terror.
It's all good, though. I still love this, Jack.
I am not certain.
Wait, so now it's Mat... it's Mat 7 now.
It's Mat 7
that's
down
okay.
from 8.
Yeah, that's actually not that big of a kick in the nuts.
The Mat is not the issue for me.
Is it Terror?
No.
It's the POW.
It's the Power, which is...
Wait, it got low... Wait.
It's power 16.
Power 16 in Crix is normally fine.
No, it really isn't, because all of our jacks are that power, and we don't take them.
John, typically, you want to know what's power 15?
Hold on. Typically, you don't take those jacks because they get shot off the table.
Uh-huh.
What else does this guy have? He's less likely to get shot off the table.
He's got the same defensive stats. Well, sorry, worse defensive stats, technically, than the Deathjack does.
Because of the shield.
Yeah,
because
it's
a shield.
It doesn't have shield guard.
Yeah.
And it's an in-faction shield guard that you can...
For
yes.
8 points.
I mean, that's the argument in favor of.
So he's 13-19?
He's 13-19 before the shield goes out.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got the same tiny grid.
Yeah.
I really like him. I just like him in general.
I think Scar 1... You make a very interesting argument for playing this guy with Scar 1. Because the power... I mean, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. He has a shield. He has reach. He has shield guard. He has a power 16 weapon with critical poison on it.
That's the shield? Or, I mean, that's the reach weapon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's 8 points. And it still has soul drive like the Seether, so we get a little bit of focus efficiency out of it. But we lose the free charge, so that a focus efficiency goes right away again.
It lost its tusks?
Now
down to 2 attacks?
Unclear. Probably not. Most Crix models, or most Crix Warjacks maintain 3 initials.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that relevant. It's like a POW 12 or something. But
usually, yeah, like 12 or 13.
Yeah, yeah.
On a strength 11.
Yeah. The big thing for me was just -1 mat. I was like, woo.
Hey. 8 to 7.
It's super sweet.
8 is super sweet.
I'll overlook POW 16 a lot of the times for mat 8, because then you can have it going hunting for...
Looks like tusks are still there.
John, did you have anything in mind for it? You seemed like you liked this jack a lot.
It just kind of gives some options. I mean, I watched Keith get shot in the face over and over again all weekend, and I was just thinking, if he had an Inflictor...
All right. Yeah.
It's true. It's much harder to one-shot that B.
Yeah.
Such a weird name for a shield guard.
All right, we're going to shoot...
Yeah.
If only I had an Inflictor, I'd be much further behind on attrition. Sign me up.
I don't know that that's necessarily true.
I like I'm curious about it as an option for Scar 1, because she can actually turn on the critical poison, as well as make it real friggin' hard to kill for a turn, and or really, really dangerous on a turn.
Yeah, it's only 8 points. It's not a huge investment.
I mean, speed 6 with reach, too, is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a lot going for it. And you can't underestimate the shield guard. I mean, that's it's just really good.
I will say this is my favorite of all the turds.
Of all the new jacks. It's also cheap.
Yeah. All right. They're all pretty cheap.
I mean, Keith, you're not used to playing jacks in Cricks. But I think this guy actually gives you some options to play.
I know what playing jacks is like. I've played other factions, and I'm not really excited about an 8-point model that sits in the back to keep my caster safe.
Well, sometimes it doesn't have to sit in the back to keep your caster safe. It has to be there in the midfield for when you bring your caster up to feet.
Although, you can now... that's actually pretty good. You can now make it even more difficult to scalpel out, like, the
blood hags way.
Because usually, like, someone will get, like, one or two, like, can potentially line up, like, maybe one shot on the Satixis UA. And they're like, if I kill that Satixis UA, then I can kill, like, half of the rest of the unit.
Sure.
And now you're like, gun mage, lining up, shield guard, lols. And then the rest are like, god damn.
Yeah, I'm on board for trying it with Scar one.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think it's pretty good with both Denny's.
It's just nice because those two Satixis units have... a lot of really good granted rules.
I agree that it seems fine with both Denny's.
Martin Ebra, maybe?
Yeah.
Since she likes jacks generally.
Yeah.
Another
even
reach jack.
Mat 7 is not as good as Mat 8. Mat 7 is still way better than Bane. It's Mat 6.
No, I'm not fussed about the mat.
Yeah.
All right.
Just that's not the issue. So, yeah, maybe. I mean, I've been wrong before. But I am not excited. I was really hoping it would at least be power 17.
Well, I mean, it's a Crix jack. Were you expecting to be excited?
When I heard shield and shield guard, I was like, oh, maybe.
You're saying there's a chance.
Didn't you also hear Sealer chassis and was like,
yep. Yep.
I mean, he could have said any chassis and Keith would have scooped. Right. No, the Crix chassis where Keith would have been like, yeah, Kraken chassis.
The crab jacks are all great.
Then it'd be 1220.
Well, this guy's pretty good with Scar 2, too, actually.
Why? Her biggest problem is hitting.
Excuse me?
Her biggest problem
is hitting hard.
Is hitting power. You're bringing a power 16 that costs 8 points.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's... I don't know. You also get to put, is it Death Ward on him?
Yeah, you can armor him up to 21.
So 13, 21.
If you're not giving that to the Death Jack.
True.
All right, well, we've run out of steam on talking about these War
yeah,
Jacks.
I guess I see more options.
War Jacks, steam. Nice.
Got it.
Should have said Steam Jacks.
Ta-da! Live. Do we want to talk about the theme list?
Indeed. In addition to the Warjacks, we've been given the theme forces. Signars is the worst.
It's the worst for one reason and one reason only, and that it's not...
There's more than one reason.
Sure. But the main reason is that it's not called... The theme force takes all the ponies forever, and it's Storm and it's Striker, and it's not called Ride the Pony.
Uh-huh.
That needed to be a thing.
Yeah.
And they messed it up.
Sure.
Or Ride the Lightning?
No, because that's a thing already.
Oh.
So if it was Ride the Pony, you'd think that this theme force was pretty legit.
Was not the worst?
Yeah. It would not be the worst because it had a funny name. And then Gore Shades would be the worst because it sucks and does not have a funny name.
So let's dive right in so we can get out as quickly as possible. No Light War Jacks permitted. The only character Jack you can take is Old Rowdy. No surprises there. Only cavalry units are permitted. No other units are allowed. For solos, you can take any Storm Knight or Arcane Tempest solos. So that does permit the Stormblade Captain and Lattermore. And I think that's it.
Is Runewood a Stormblade?
He certainly is not. He's a Sword Knight. Additionally, it will allow the Battle Engine. If you follow these restrictions, you can take an extra unit of Storm Lances. Yes! For those of you keeping track, we can't have the Junior in this theme force. If you take Lattermore, Tier 2 gives those same knights Pathfinder on Turn 1. If you take two Warjacks, Tier 3 will give the Warjacks plus 2 speed on Turn 1. Oh, not the Cavalry. At Tier 4, cavalry units will have their cost decreased by a point if you take at least two of them, reducing your Turn 1 losses to only 10 points instead of 11.
I did think it was funnier when I thought that the Theme Force gave all of his models plus speed. So it's like, yeah, get those horses way up there. And then they just all die.
Yeah. They're armor 16.
17.
17. They're five 12, boxes.
12, 17.
13. 13,
17. Yeah. Still pretty dead to any guns.
Or melee attacks.
Any
or
boostable POW 12s or unboostable anything higher than POW 12s.
This is not good. It's not good. I would not. I'm going to give this one a D.
I'm going to give this one an F.
I'm going to give this one. I'm going to give this one 0 out of 5 Coke Zeros.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
I prefer the oatmeal cream pie scale.
Can you just load it up with a ton of jacks and then
no,
jam?
Without the squire, he doesn't. Eh? Like, he doesn't have a huge footprint. He doesn't run them particularly well. He's got the two upkeep spells going out there.
Iron aggression.
I mean, maybe there's a really jack-heavy force you can play, but you don't have a screen.
It's bad.
You can't take the Thunderhead, so what's your infantry removal options?
Well, impact attacks.
So, I mean, you can take the gun mage horses.
Yes, you can. That's your infantry removal option. So maybe, actually, the only... I'm warming up to this a little bit. The list that
I mean, that's what I was thinking about.
I'm like, I don't think the list is as bad as you think it is.
I don't think it's good.
Still. I don't think it's great.
But the, so the possibility here is like, you take enough jacks to try to get the work done while the Tempest Blazers do most of the removal. You can't take multiple units of Tempest Blazers, though, so...
You can.
You gotta be careful.
Or are they only FA1?
They're FA1. Okay. He doesn't increase
it. It only gives the lances.
Okay. Well, with, I mean, because like they have Electro Leap on their lances when they hit, don't they?
Yeah, lances.
They have Electro Leap, they have a
and then during his feat, they get the extra as well, so
impact
they kind
of... also, automatically.
Yeah, so they might do a little bit of infantry clearing on the
lances. The lances can kill a ton of infantry. Don't get me wrong, I'm actually quite fond of that cav once they get involved.
Sure.
They kind of need...
They need, like...
Arcane Shield.
Arcane Shield, or sure. Trenchers in
yeah,
front
no,
of
I've,
them.
I've run them before.
Acceleration.
Yeah. Reflection.
Yeah, and Striker is... My one issue with Striker is that he brings nothing defensive to the table, which is the same reason why I don't play Nemo 3.
Right.
Because if he had, like, other than his... He has one armor spell for a warjack, but you're like, armor spell for a warjack? Like, we do that already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he had, like... If either of those casters had, like, one defensive measure, they'd go up, like, at least 2 cream pies.
Sure.
On my grading scale.
Sure.
You need to say oatmeal
cream pies.
Oatmeal cream pies.
Is
that list any good?
That,
steamroller?
That poor woman.
I don't think so.
Squirting and screaming.
Screaming.
Wow.
I thought I was still in the clear.
John
Ramirez.
You'll have to listen to our preview.
I mean,
for that.
Keith just voted the steam force like 2 cream pies or whatever that just happened. I don't even know.
Oatmeal cream
pies. Little Debbie. Look it up.
Oatmeal.
It's kind of oatmeal.
All right, let's move on to the next theme force.
Yep. Resnik, the Wrath of Ages, has a pretty open... Oh, God. Bulls, it's theme forces. They're not tiers. All non-character warjacks are permitted.
Good.
The Scourge of Heresy is also a go because it's special issue.
Oh, snap, son.
As are all exemplar units and zealots and the choir. You can also bring along any exemplar solos, reclaimers, racks, and the stupid battle engine.
So far, this is pretty good.
Yeah, it's
actually.
Rack solos become field allowance unlimited.
Ew.
And Resnik can pull as many focus as he wants on turn one.
Right.
Racks on racks on racks, man!
Oh my god. That's tier one?
Yeah.
But it does allow him to get all of his upkeeps out.
So
yeah.
What is it? Racks
and not get killed immediately.
150 racks.
Right. It's like you're
littering the field.
You've turned the Game of War Machine into Minesweeper.
Yeah, Minesweeper in my deployment zone.
Yeah,
oh
yes.
My god. Pretty
so
bad.
Now it's like you know all those stupid threads that pop up every like year or two where people are like, what's the most damage one tech can do in the entire game? And it's like, all right. Legion versus this theme force. And Resnik runs straight forward.
First turn.
Resnik pulls 150.
First turn, the Legion has to go first. So it's your first turn, like, Legion, like, Forsaken, run as far as possible and get slipstreamed.
Yeah.
Pushed. And take a Fury, 5 Fury off of it. Resnick goes, pulls 150 focus, and then runs 14 inches directly at you.
Resnick takes
my
159 D6 plus 8.
Bring out the 40k bucket.
You take 521 damage. Oh, did you add the plus 8? Oh, my bad. 529. Well, let's see. I'm camping.
I'm armor 170.
Yeah, this is 40k. All
right, I'm really dead.
All right, we actually... Man, right. You should cut that out, and we should legitimately do that in a video.
Oh, God, yeah. Our first live stream.
What are you guys doing?
Trying an experimental list.
Yeah.
No. We would need to talk it up way, way, way much before the game. Like, you know, you'll never be able to one-shot me on the top of turn one, or on the bottom of turn one. With this, you know, with the list I've got planned. Like, it'll never happen. I'll bet you, you know, like, just escalate it. Like, do, like, the whole, like, wrestling.
I will run my caster maximum distance forward and turn them around backwards, and that's not a thing you could be able to do about it.
It's like you're on.
Oh, so, man, we could do
like, go. I'm armor 177. Go.
We could do a series of videos, just like talking smack and being like, yeah, man, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna run my caster forward, and you're not gonna be able to kill him. And he's on a battle engine. Good luck. And like, okay, I bet I can do it. And we could just like do like videos of like all the different factions.
Kalissa charges him.
I mean, alright, can we just let's just assume every one out of 36 attacks I buy, I miss. So I get GS Roll Snake Eyes like literally 7 times in a row.
It'd just be fun to come up with the solutions and then just like, but just the first time, you know, somebody's like playing like some silly counter list and they're just like, you can't kill me on turn 2. That's your only chance. After that, all bets are off, you know.
All right.
It's just the puzzling things in War Machine. Remember that used to be in the... It's that.
Oh, kill Privateer.
170 focus Resnick on turn 2. Go.
Oh, PP, you try so hard. At tier 2, including a unit of Cinerators, we give all medium-based units advanced move.
Buy those Cinerators.
Please buy Cinerators.
I mean, Hot Carl has a stockpile of Cinerators that he will probably sell you for $2. Like, you go to that guy's used model dealership, and it's just Cinerators. Cinnabons.
For Cinerators.
Cinnamons.
No.
No.
He doesn't do anything for any of his army, does he?
Vengeance plus...
Iron Aggression.
Vengeance. Iron Aggression plus Advance Move. Does that make them playable? Maybe. Nope. It makes them relevant in scenario soon.
Vengeance on 5-man units.
No, it's not great.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Vengeance even matters. The advance move actually gets them into, like, contesting scenarios where people have to kind of do
it. If you take 2 Reclaimer solos at tier 3...
It's only a 4-inch advance move.
Models with Cenotaph and Gatekeeper get a soul at the start of the game.
Oh, nice.
So Sanctifiers and Reclaimers. Lastly, at the final tier, you get a 1-point discount on huge base models if you include at least 2 that are not your Warcaster.
Yeah, so that theme will start off pretty good, but there's no real good theme bonuses.
You take multiple battle engines?
Sure.
That would be legit.
No, you may not.
Wait,
thank God.
They're FA2.
They are?
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I know the troll one is FA2. I don't know.
They're all FA2.
Yeah, I think they all are.
Well.
Thank God that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I agree.
What's that? The 2 Benoff battle engines?
Yeah.
Prayer played 2 at against Keith.
He did.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the thing that happened.
That sounds miserable.
I just thought he was cheating the whole time. You're like, eh, whatever.
Was that fair of those things?
I guess it was just probably so awful that Keith blocked it out of his memory.
We can talk about Butcher 3's theme force, but as per most Kator theme forces, it doesn't permit the mercenaries that are required for Kator to live and breathe, so... Eh? But it is kind of cute.
It's kind of funny. I like it.
The permitted units include non-character Warjax, Doom Reaver, and Winter Guard units, Fenris, Manhunters, Yuri the Axe, War Dog, Winter Guard solos, and the Gun Carriage. So you get Winter Guard and Joe, you get Doom Reavers, and a reasonable...
Standard Jacks.
Yeah, reasonable Standard Jacks. So it's not the most restrictive, but again, we're not talking like no Eris, no, none of the stuff they love. The field allowance of war dogs goes up for each war jack in the army, and you can attach any number of war dogs to the caster.
That's amazing.
The second tier gives you Pathfinder first turn for Yuri. The third tier gives, for every gun carriage, you get to place a 4-inch rough terrain template.
Where? Is it 20 inches?
20 inches.
Yeah, great. Put rough terrain in my area. Great theme.
Tier 4 is a point reduction cost for Pathfinder Warjacks.
God, that's so stupid.
As long as you take two of them, which includes the new Grilla. So...
someone to make a list that's just like Butch 3, as many Kodiaks as possible, and then as many War Dogs as possible.
The Kodiak's really good with him. It runs for free. I mean, it doesn't suck up his focus.
Yeah, it might not be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be terrible.
No. It's probably terrible.
I'm just saying, like, I think it'd be funny.
My point is, I actually thought about the Kodiak with Butch 3 as a potential option.
Yeah.
A single Kodiak with him is not terrible because Butcher is very selfish with his focus.
Yeah. To be sure.
So
to be sure.
Being able to run for free is pretty good.
And then having an army of war dogs.
Well, I wasn't thinking
if only they if only they stacked the death buffs. Like, I'm def 75, come get me.
Every time a war dog dies, you can just quote some like movie, just like, time to go to lay of old Yeller.
having like 7 or 8 war dogs.
You can't. That's one per jack.
Per jack. So you can get up to three. Probably reasonably 50
point game. You can probably like, you know.
Mark.
I forgot. No, they're 1 point.
Yeah.
The jacks are like a minimum of 8 or 9, though.
Yeah.
But they get one minus one cost.
Yeah.
Whoa. So it's like
three
or
dog.
Seven.
It's literally just like, buy Kador Jack, come with dog for free.
So you can,
we give you Mastiff.
Special deal for today, just because I like you. Each of these robots come with cute puppy. Butcher's like,
I mean,
I take 4.
Oh my god. Someone needs to animate that. Kador is the best faction for talking about fluff. We all just turn into like the Soviet actors.
Awesome. We all turn into Chekhov.
Or John Malkovich from Rounders.
Yet. No more. It's chick.
All right. Significantly less exciting.
Yeah, actually, those are some of the worst theme forces they've come out with in a while.
Oh, just wait, John.
Wait till this year. Oh, wait, we got to talk about Boar Shade first.
Indeed. No,
oh, I
meant just wait for Core Shades.
Oh. Oh, okay.
It's also pretty bad. The Lord of Ruin may take non-character warjacks, Bane units, Thrall units, Bane solos, and Thrall solos. Tier 1 will give him an additional unit of Bane Cavalry.
Nice.
If you take one unit of Bane Cavalry. The second tier gives you +1 to your starting roll. If you take at least one Desecrator, and all amphibious warjacks will get a point cost reduction. Mm. And finally, if you take a Mechanithral unit and a Kraken, any Krakens get 1 corpse token per Mechanithral unit.
Oh my god, so I can spend like 9 points and my Krakens would start with 3.
I think if you ignore the Kraken, like 2 units of Bane Cav with the pseudo revive and I think there might be a list there.
If you literally do tier 1 or 2, what's tier 2?
Cuz it's not super restrictive. Even the Desecrator is not bad cuz it's got the accumulator Bane. So like I think there might be a list there.
There might be.
I don't think it's.
No, it's not. It's not atrocious. It's very on par with other Crixian theme forces.
Yeah.
Whereas it doesn't like. There's no bells and whistles. There's no like. Oh my! Something new and exciting is happening. It's more like.
Well, the extra unit of Bane Cav is interesting because I think he's maybe the best Bane Cav caster. The revive is really powerful on that, those guys. Like, it adds up over time.
I haven't tested Bane Cav extensively, but in my head, Epic Scar is still the best Bane Cav caster. But maybe I'm wrong.
She may be.
Not Epic Denny?
I don't think she stops them from dying enough.
You don't think her feet stops them from dying?
It helps, but it doesn't stop the guns. I guess they are arm 18.
Yeah.
I mean, don't go incorporeal that turn, and then she'll draw all the fire away from them.
That's true.
Now everyone knows the shield guards over them.
She's an exceptional decoy.
Look at me.
Yep.
So great. It's just a lot of the pieces that I guess as a Crix player, I've gotten to a point where my whole style of play has gotten moved. It centers around a lot of individual pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I don't have access to Warwick Sirens and I don't have access to living models to feed my Mechanithral engine, it doesn't feel right. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And this Theme Force, it's in that space where it's like, you can take Mechanithrals, but not a single living model to feed into them. And it's
that's
just
because
like,
you're becoming old and set in your ways. You old man.
Get
off my faction line.
I just legitimately think there might be a list there. I'd have to think about it some more.
Did he get an armor spell? Does he have Death Ward? No. No, he doesn't. I don't know why I thought that. He has stealth. The stealth spell, that's it. As far as defensive measures go.
Occultation?
Yeah. Occultation and then pseudo-revive. And this doesn't allow the Withershadow combine, and I think you want Withershadow with him? Maybe, maybe not.
I mean, you kind of do, but I don't know. Like I said, I didn't think it was great. I just, what are the benefits? The extra unit of cav, is that the only really benefit?
Extra unit of cav, plus one to starting roll.
That's good.
And then taking one of the desecrators, which are the accumulator bane, gives you minus cost reduction for amphibious.
So the desecrator costs 7 points? I think it's normally 8.
Isn't it normally 9?
Do not know, do not own, would not play.
Yeah. I mean, you literally don't have to go to that tier anyway.
No.
I mean, you could just literally build the bane list.
Yeah, the only X factor here to whether or not this list is going to be good is probably the how effective are bane cavalry with him, and do you want 2 units of them?
I think you might be right, John. I think it might not be bad. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's
time will tell.
Mockery of Life only brings them back with 1, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's maybe it just won't be that hard to.
It's way easier killing 1 unit of cav. 2 units of, they kind of start stacking a little bit, they're going to get there and start doing damage and get stuck in and then start getting revived. And it's not impossible, though. And then you have Occultation to help deliver. I mean, he kind of got a lot going on.
Yeah, definitely. That's a caster that I should be testing with because I do think that his long-term mockery grind is a game you can play.
Yep.
He's just sitting there every turn, just, ha-ha!
Yeah, it's upkeep Occultation, mockery 3 times, keep Core Shade alive.
3 or 4 times if someone casts a spell on his controller.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just boring. Bore Shade.
Yep.
Yep.
A chore, casting mockery.
It's a lot like the playstyle of Bore Shade 2.
Yeah.
In the Theme Force. But
except now I don't have to roll a hit.
Because you can take Thralls, too. So
yeah. So Thralls. That's what I'm thinking is the second. I don't love the second unit of cavalry. I guess if you can find a flank where they're not as threatened by guns and then stealth the other unit, you've got the Thralls sort of central stealth and then the one unit off to the side stealth. This actually may be a list where you take the Shield Guard Jack just because you want some help keeping Gorshade in the clear.
Yeah.
Alright, well, before we talk about the Rhett Theme Force, we forgot to mention that we know stuff about Imperatus now that we didn't know.
Ew. What do we know about Imperatus that we did not know before?
We know that he's Mat 7, Rat 6, and that his,
point cost is 12.
His point cost is 12, and that his shield is a 12-point shield.
We also know that the Halation Cannon has Flame Burst.
Is that the same ability that
the
Avatar
sword
has?
And that Cenerators have, yes.
Is it just on direct, or...?
It's directed.
That's actually really good.
That's kind of nice. And that actually makes sense, considering the definition of halation.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's the range on it?
I think it's 10.
Range 10. Fire-type damage is a magical weapon, has the Flame Burst special
rule. It's not an AoE, right?
Oh, it's not an AoE. That's right. So
that's actually kind of potentially mopey.
I mean, it's within an inch.
Yeah.
So it's like a,
you're going to say it's like a...
On a small base model, it's a little better than a 3-inch AoE.
Except for AoEs.
It's like twice as good as a 3-inch AoE on a small base model.
Except for...
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a large base model.
No, it's just a little bit better.
Except for AoE's Dive, And AoEs don't get rolled out on my opponent's following turn.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I'm just saying the area of effect when you hit. Just like Hellmouth is a 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Or
this is weird, because I think AoE. I'd actually rather just have kept the Phoenix. Because you can, like, you know, like, occasionally you're just like, Phoenix, shoot your gun, drift, kill that stealth model.
Yeah.
It's dead.
It's still just a range 10, pow 14, right? Like, that's its base stats?
Yes, I think.
That's decent. That's a pretty good gun.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's fine. It's interesting.
And, like, shooting RFPs, a battle, so. if you finish, like, a battle engine with it.
I don't think it RFPs, does it?
Oh, my God.
I think Flameburst is an RFP, isn't it?
No,
maybe it's not.
No,
it's
just
not.
The model, when you hit it, stuff within an inch of it lights on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't RFP as far as I'm aware.
No, it doesn't. I should know.
Is it when you hit or kill?
I think
kill.
It's hit.
Kill.
No, is it kill?
It's kill.
If it's
kill.
Hit, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like, a kill.
It's shoot
that huge base.
Having two
it's
additional...
Like, shoot that galleon.
No, I'm shooting.
Having two additional damage on his shield is huge, though.
Yeah, that's an extra 4 HP.
Like, now it has more HP than the Mountain King.
Yes.
I thought the Phoenix always had 12 in its field, though.
No, the Phoenix has 10. The only one that has 12 is Hyperion.
For those of you keeping track, the this Warjack now has 51 HP to go from full to dead.
Heavy Warjack.
I was talking to
not, and that's not counting if you don't one-shot it. You know, it's Phoenix Field regeneration.
Chris and I were talking about this, and he was just like, man, Imperius is making me sad. And I'm like, what? Why? And he's just like,
it's too good.
Because now I'm never going to want to play a Hyperion again, because it just, like, has as many boxes for a significantly reduced cost, and is a large base, not a colossal, and can therefore hide behind, you know, walls and stuff.
So he doesn't want to take his colossal, because he has a heavy that has nearly the same amount of hit points and nearly the same damage output. I wish I knew what that felt like.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome
high
to,
five.
Welcome to Scorn, except they're...
Whoa. It's a different... Because you knew Moog existed before the Mountain King, and you were dumb and were like, I'm going to buy this Mountain King. I was like, oh, man, Hyperion! This is... Wait, now I'm getting Moog? I just burned 130 miles!
Hyperion
right,
does...
Let's figure it out.
Hyperion does some other things.
It does.
It's a mobile bunker. Number one. Number two, its gun is power 18.
Number three, it's way easier to kill.
Yeah.
Number four, its damage output is almost the same in melee.
Isn't the Hyperion's higher?
Yeah, it's 19.
It's not 20?
No, it's 19.
So it's 21 with an Arcanist.
Okay.
Only the Stormwall.
I mean, Mat 7, still having two Mat 7 reach sidestep. Like.
Oh, yeah. Imperatus is amazing. I'm just, I don't necessarily buy that it straight replaces the Hyperion.
No, I'm just, it's funny because, like, the Hyperion.
It's a funny joke.
I agree with you, actually, John. I just, yeah, it's.
Yeah. It's a good joke. It's not like Moog and the Mountain King. We'll just leave it at that.
Thank you.
But no. Otherwise, Chad feel worse.
Hyperion was the colossal with the most boxes. And Imperatus has 13 less.
That's a lot less.
Moog has 14 less. God damn it.
14 less than?
Than the Mountain King.
Oh.
No, so the Mountain King is better.
Way more than 14.
So the Mountain King is better then.
No.
He's got like 18 or 19 less than Imperatus.
Yeah.
This Warjack is so hard to kill. A little bit of the old 13-18 with
a colossal's damage grid, basically.
51 bucks.
I will tell you, I might actually put Virus on the table.
I mean,
now.
That 13 is a huge deal, too.
Yeah.
If
you, it's especially massive. When you armor spell him, it's just like.
You know what this means, though?
What's it like? That sound over time.
Some, like, furied conquest or something like that is going to go in him sometime and just miss all of its attacks.
So, here's something for all you red players. Imperatus stats means that you will never have Defender's Ward.
Yeah.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. Straight up.
Nope.
Not happening.
No, oh God, 15-20 with 51 bucks.
It's something else from the faction. Yeah, that's just like, well, this is going to define all of your future releases forever.
No Defender's Ward for you. I know you were hoping for it. Like, people were talking about Virus. It'd be really fluffy, you know, if Red got Defender's Ward, that'd be really cool. Nope. Done. Out.
No. Chipping down the hatch.
Nope. That's not happening.
Batten down. could potentially happen, because then he goes to def
11.
10 or whatever.
Oh, that's true.
And he's def 10, armor 21. It's
11,
like,
21 with 51 boxes.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Probably less.
I mean, it's like, I don't have to ever boost ever. I'm just gonna beat you to death with my Palpo strength 20 or 22 or whatever.
Yep.
I like how he laughs at Getarix. You thought you were hard to kill.
So,
Isidia's theme force, most probably the best.
I mean, of these theme forces, no.
It's missing it's missing a few key pieces that Assyria that I think Assyria wants badly, but we'll talk about it. Okay, so you have to bring Myrmidons only with field generators, non-characters.
Not the Vyrjaks.
Dawn Guard Invictors, Dawn Guard Sentinels, House Guard Units, Arcanists, Dawn Guard Sires, House Guard Solos, and Wishnailer.
Good.
So things that are missing.
Any mages.
Mittens of any variety, and Mage Hunters of any variety. The Mage Hunters is the part that stings.
And no Battle Engine.
And the Battle Engine.
Which actually kind of stings.
Tier 1, all the non-character solos get an FA bump of 1. At Tier 2, if you include any House Guard units, warrior models get plus 2 speed on the first turn. So her whole army is even faster. At the third tier, if you have 2 Dawn Guard units, one of them is it gets an attachment for free, ignoring field allowance. And the final tier, if you bring at least 1 Arc Node, you get a 2 dice roll to go first, where you may keep the highest.
She can play 2 units of Invictors with UA.
Indeed.
And
it doesn't actually, like, fit. But yes, it is theoretically possible. It's just you can't, like, get all the tier bonuses.
You don't need all the tier bonuses.
Tier 4 is pretty tempting.
What's tier 4?
That's the signs importance for the starting roll. Roll 2 dice.
You roll 2 dice.
The highest for your starting roll.
I mean, that's good. I don't know. I was just thinking about her feet turn. Like, if you build her for an early alpha and you have 2 units of Invictors with their mini feet on with signs importance, like, so much gets blown up. Like, it's just really, really bad. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd actually be interested, because you can get it.
It seems like a really good theme force.
You can get it all in there.
Yeah.
You can get in there.
It just breaks my brain thinking about that many range 14, POW 12 shots base with signs importance at rat 6.
And true sight.
And true sight.
And true sight.
Yeah.
Like, think about that for how much desolation that is just from 2 units.
That's high output. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they can also just, like, combine up for wrecking heavies. I mean...
Yeah, that does seem like the way to build the list. Yeah. What do you miss for it, though, if you're saying that you can't get it all in from?
I mean,
that's just
really
where I started.
Like,
you also have a ton of other
things. I mean,
here's
the thing
list.
Is, like, weren't you complaining about her specifically, her problem being that she wants everything anyway? And so this theme force gives her a little bit of direction into what she really, really wants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The only problem I actually foresee with this theme force is her dying. Because there's no, like...
I don't think that's a problem with this theme force. I think that's just a problem with her.
Yeah, yeah, but...
I don't think you're going to be able to build a list where that is not...
going to be at risk.
Yeah, be a major issue of playing her.
You can definitely alleviate it with pieces that are in the faction that are not allowed on the theme
force.
She
can take a battle engine, right?
No.
There are no...
Like, the mittens.
Yeah, the 3-point mittens that makes her def 18 immune to blast from shooting, or Discordia, or there's something else I was going to say.
She can still take a Hyperion to hide behind, right?
Yes.
You can, but then you're not getting, like, past tier 2.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
Are you building a list? House Guard are, like, minimum 7.
Keep building a list. Hey, they updated War Room. What do we think about that?
I'm going to talk about that here briefly. Actually, yeah, everything fits.
Looks like you're just an idiot, Crump.
So, the list is, and I'm not sure if this is exactly what you want, but it's Hyperion and a Chimera, 1 Arcanist, the House Guard Thane, a full unit of Halberdiers.
No UA?
No UA. And then the 2 Max Invictors with UAs. It fits. It feels
really clunky.
It feels compressed, yeah, and a little awkward.
How about...
Possibly you minimize both sets of Invictors?
Maybe you're not an idiot, Crump. How does that make you feel?
It's really close to being
good.
I feel
pretty stupid, Chad. I've actually, when we were doing this whole podcast, I've been tinkering around with a bunch of different versions.
What solos does it allow?
Houseguards. The Thanes that aren't on horses. Arcanist, Silas. So, I mean, I was thinking about having my Dawn Guard, my other Dawn Guard unit, to get actually, the two Dawn Guard units be Invictors with the free UA, like full Invictors with the free UA, and then just Sentinels.
It's a little bit aggravating that the how restricted the solos are, because I really like solos in Retribution.
Yeah, they're really good.
I mean, I think it's what's keeping the theme force potentially back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, this list is two Phoenix, two Arcanists, House Guard Thane, full Invictors twice with two UAs, and then Halberdiers plus UA.
Yeah, in my version, I kept the same battle group, the Hyperion Chimera. I just minimized the Invictors to pull in Silas and the Halberdier officer in Standard.
If they're,
and I still have actually, two, and I still have a couple points, so I could put a Solus on the Halberdiers. Or
you could potentially build this really gross jam list with like. Because everything gets plus two speed turn one, right?
All the warrior models.
Yeah, so you could play like three House Guard Halberdier units and like three Thanes because it increases their FA, and then like two Sentinels units, and then like a Chimera, so you always like go first, and then you're just like, everything's on the table in your face, go. And that's, you know, what, like,
just play the
models
Crusaders call list, basically.
Yeah.
It's a Crix list.
I still like the idea of John's two Invictors.
All right. This is where it's the first thing I thought of, because Invictors are literally my least favorite thing to see across the table from me shooting at me. And most people are like, why?
It's not
I'm
Strike
like,
Force?
No. Rat 6 POW 12 tears my stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really strong. And it's usually... And it's usually
CRA
balanced.
Combined arms. They just and then they're really hard to shoot back at.
Well, and it's usually just like that. Yeah. POW 12 shooting is usually balanced by the fact that POW 12 CRA shooting, especially, is usually balanced by the fact that it's got very bad range, and they don't. You know.
Yeah, 14 inches is so far.
Range 10, mini feet 14.
Range 10, mini feet 14. Really good.
Yep. I just like even Defenders Warded Errants, like they're just like take. A bunch of two-mans, kill them all?
Yeah.
Like, they all die.
Almost every time.
Her theme force will very frequently set up exactly the situation that she wants to, which is turn one, go first, speed everything up to get in position, turn two, alpha like a mug.
Yeah.
Hard.
Maybe we'll think about it. And get back to you in a future episode.
Yeah. You know, maybe we'll play it.
The crazy jam list. The points are perfect. Phoenix, Arcanist, three House Guard Thanes, three House Guard Halberdiers, two units of Sentinels.
Oh, my God.
As many unit attachments as possible.
There are no unit attachments except for the free Sentinel UA.
Except for the free Sentinel UA.
You could change a House Guard Thane into the House Guard UA, which might potentially be better. That's a lot of dudes in your face, though.
But can it kill armor 170 res?
This theme force cannot.
Krasik will, however, die the following day.
One mage hunter assassin, and this would be golden. Judo chops him in half.
Terror check.
I kind of want to
play this jam list.
You should do it.
No, I mean, this is the theme force to me that invokes the most possibilities out of all. Yeah. And it's the only one that I immediately was like, oh, let's spill the list and see what we get.
Yeah.
Like the other ones, I'm just like, hey, you can do this and this, and I do what the theme force says and hope it's not god awful. But this one is just like, there are possibilities. Like, we've already come up with two different scenarios that are, I mean, neither of them are probably excellent. We don't know. They might be.
The two units of Invictors with UAs bothers me with Signs Importance in a list that wants to alpha.
Yep.
Like, that's bad.
Signs Importance and True Sight.
Yeah.
Ship.
On top of the, like, threat range 15 charging Halberdiers.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, the other thing that's silly about that, just single shots with Signs Importance that become the equivalent of Rat 8 POW 14.
Yep.
Range 14 shots.
Oh, I know.
How would you like to get into a gunfight with Invictors when your units get blinding lights?
Oh, yeah. They become Rat 10 if you get blinding lights out there.
Bandit Bandit.
Yeah, or just Rat 8 single shot.
God,
double that.
No, no. Rat 10s with signs importance. It's the equivalent of plus 2. So they start at 6, go to 8 with signs importance, go to 10 with blinding light.
Well, so yeah, it's semantics, I guess.
Yeah.
Rat 8. I'm saying Rat 8 with signs importance. They're right. Saying Rat 10.
Equivalent, yeah.
Equivalent. But you were saying Rat 10 with signs importance.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I just
oh, wait.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They just amaze balls, kill all your stuff. Like, hey, look, all my stuff died. Cool.
All my stuff died from farther away than you can charge me, and then I get another turn of shooting you.
And whenever I decide to, I can charge you from way far downtown.
Yeah, and it's not like you're bad in melee either.
That's actually one reason I wouldn't like actually Hyperion in that list, is because you run into the problem with the range 10 Hyperion of, like, danger closing your own, like, models that are... Because you're like, oh, Halberdier's screening my Hyperion. Oh, this is awkward.
I think the way that it ends up working out because of Asiria's excellent control area is that you sort of dedicate two flanks. You're like, this is my Halberdier flank, and this is the Hyperion flank.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he can fight what he needs to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I would actually just play... God, this is so
I mean, if that list has such an amazing alpha strike, too, then I don't see any problem with just having Hyperion hang back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just becomes the late-game monster.
Go, and once the Invictors have taken care of their whole army, or as much of their army as they can, which is probably their whole army.
Yeah.
Like,
and you don't have to use Asiria's... Sorry to interrupt. You don't have to use Asiria's ancillary on the Wub-Wub cannon. You can use it on the... Who calls it that? I'm trying to...
It sounds like something Dave would
Skrillex?
Say. Like a Duro.
But anyway, I think it might
anyway you can use it on the little gun, and it gets D3.
Yeah.
On one of the little guns, and it gets D3.
It's a weird interaction.
And with blinding light, like, that gun's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Well. Yeah, I think, actually, I kind of agree with Crump. Hyperion's probably the most out of place piece in that list with its game plan, but
it can't stand not having somewhere for her to hide.
Yeah, that's where I was going, but it is a bunker for her. So if you had another option for a bunker,
damn, Caster is 16-13.
I don't know.
Oh, it's so scary. Oh,
it was so scared.
I like how Kossites threaten her.
I want to play the list with no protection and see how difficult it is to keep her alive.
Depends on the train.
I've fallen in love with running two Phoenix with her. It's just... There's nowhere you can't blinding light with two Phoenix in the list. And Phoenix with admonition is just straight money.
Yeah,
they're like, haha, charge your Phoenix. And you're like, haha, walk away, walk forward, combust. And they're like, oh, God, that was really bad.
No,
that was really bad. I better charge that Phoenix.
Yeah. Only once.
I'm a huge fan of the Phoenix. It was my favorite Jack when I played Red. Of course, the Vire Jacks weren't out, but I use that thing a lot. And it's just good.
Just need some Cloud Elves.
God, I really like this list.
She does. Actually, they just need to make fun. They just need to make friends with the dwarves. Like, that happened in the movie Legolas and Gimli, right? It can happen.
Yeah, then I can paint my rep models like stupid. Then a cloud dwarf can kill a guy, and when he does, I get to go 21.
How are we looking on the time?
We're still early. It's like an hour 15.
All right.
I call it.
So, now that we know everything that's coming out in Vengeance.
Rhett won the book.
Who won the book?
Rhett won the book. Close second to Mercenaries. Ta-da. Done.
I mean, what I had said to Josh earlier was that, except Merc lost on the technicality of not getting
a caster
and other things. Because of the new book.
I mean, they only got three. They only got three releases, right? And it's still close.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely like Retribution really high up on the bar. Then, like, next podium down, Merc's really high up. And then everyone else, like, a mile below.
My argument for
Kator
this.
Is pretty happy with this
book. Yeah, Kator's.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about Juniors being in this book.
Kator's
Butcher.
Yeah, Kator's picking up the Junior, and they certainly got the best of the casters.
All right, fine. Kator's like half a mile down. And everybody else.
My favorite was just looking at that, basically watching that, like, roller coaster of
is
emotion.
Is that or Asiria?
Like, I don't like
Bresnik,
Asiria.
Certainly not better. Stryker, don't think is better. Gorshade, most likely not better.
But potentially.
But, yeah.
I don't like Butcher 3 as much as everybody else likes him. He's good, but...
He looks like a ton of fun every time.
Yeah, he's fun. It's, when your game plan is to get your caster in there and kill all their stuff...
And then that doesn't go right.
Well, even when it goes right, sometimes you just die.
Yep.
I mean...
Yeah. I mean, he has the same game plan with a better success rate than Terminus.
Yeah, and I hate Terminus.
Yeah, I loathe Terminus.
Right.
I'm saying. His success rate is that much better.
Butcher's threat range, much longer than
much
Terminus.
Much longer and more oblique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's much better at clearing infantry.
Terminus, straight 11-inch line. Butcher, 20-inch curveball.
Terminus actually gets you for 15 a lot. Beyond Death, and then Madeline Corbeau.
Yeah.
But I can't stand Terminus. Like, he's just so static. He has no game plan. Butcher is more dynamic, so that's why he's better. But he still has the same problem where, like, you just get up there and he's gonna die.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Congratulations, Retribution players.
Congratulations, Cotter players.
Indeed. So the other thing that I want to talk about briefly before we go into, I think we have a couple other topics to gab about today.
I've got one I want to talk about, but we'll move on.
Is the War Room update. I want to give a big old slow clap to War Room for releasing the program that should have existed 2 years ago. Bravo.
Well done. We got there. I'm happy. You know what I find? I find that a world without War Room would make me really sad.
What role did they change?
Now there is theme force validation.
So when you click your theme force button, it automatically eliminates things you can't put in that theme force.
So you know, stuff that forward commander and...
As well as correctly calculating the points for your theme force.
Indeed. I was actually mind blown by that. I was like, put this in. Whoa. Those aren't normally that point value. What's going on, War Room?
No, that's really cool.
They also included a feature by which they'll change all the text to red on anything that would take you over your point value.
Yeah.
So coming close to the efficientness of iBodger, which removed all the...
I want to say something nice. Or I want to say something disparaging, but I just feel like...
Please do.
No, I just feel like it's just being a dead horse. It's like, well done on trying to improve things. That's it. We'll just leave it there.
No. Yeah,
they've done better.
No, I'm sad.
Still only I have one complaint, though.
The thing that I've been using War Room more and more for, War Room has almost completely replaced my cards.
Yeah, did you like how they made it so it doesn't destroy your battery in 5 minutes?
Never destroyed my battery in 5 minutes because I'm an iPhone user, so... And an iPad.
But they, reduce the frame rate... And it goes into, sleep mode without, breaking itself.
Was that part of the new changes? Or
yes, that is in a list of their new changes. It will now go in, inactive mode. So, if you're playing a game, it will now, turn
fade
off,
out.
Fade out.
Sure.
But not, be like, War Room has unexpectedly stopped. Great. Well, they were on my game, I guess.
Yeah. So I gotta restart it and try to figure out what my damage was. And
yep.
Just from browsing and building the couple lists that we have on the podcast, it's fragged me pretty bad. But I don't think it's as bad as before because I did use it during a game earlier in the evening. So and I'm not in the red yet. So it's an improvement.
Yeah, it's definitely.
And that was my biggest. That was probably my biggest remaining complaint, other than no list validation or theme force validation, which they now have. They mostly do those things.
Yeah. The only complaint that I still have really is I want to be able to put my lists into folders. So when I open my lists, I don't see wall of circle lists, scroll down to wall of ret lists, scroll down to wall of circle lists, scroll down to wall of...
Yeah, just folders
whatever.
For the different factions.
I want to just be quick circle, open those. Okay,
that's
nice.
So I could sort them, and I want to be able to make my own folders.
Yeah.
If it's just by faction, that's fine.
That's a good
But
start.
I would like to be able to then make subfolders for point values or yep. sort initially by point values yep. and then subfolders. I want to be able to have options for sorting things. And we're basically yeah, like, dealing with a database program, so it doesn't seem like it's that fucking hard.
Right? I remember Clifton Klein ranting about that in the car with me one time where he was just like, this isn't hard to build a program where you store items in folders inside other folders. But yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's certainly making progress, and I have...
Indeed.
I don't even know where my cards are at this point, so...
They're right behind you.
Some of them. But they're, like, in piles all over, because I literally don't know where they are.
Yeah, yeah.
I still prefer to mark damage on cards, and probably always will.
Agreed. Yeah. Same boat.
But for random rules references, like, I occasionally will lose a card and be like, rap, screw it. Like... My phone's with me. If somebody actually has a... Like, I know what it does. If somebody has a question, I'll pull it up on
one. You're like, oh, I don't want to have to order a new card. That's so much work.
Like, I'm currently playing without a P. De Negra card. I'm just marking damage on E. Denny.
Because I have the same grid.
I'm like, I cast this spell. And just cast... I just... Don't need. Don't need. Yeah. And so far, no one has asked to see the card, so... Thumbs up.
That's what I do with my light trolls.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many games I played with Scythian grids for Ravagors. Back I mean, when I had no Ravagor cards.
They're the same group, yeah.
Yep. So.
Yeah. Good job, War Room.
Improvements. Thumbs up.
I mean it. Definitely.
Ooh. I lack sincerity?
That was very sincere.
Yeah.
You're done... Okay.
That'll do.
Eventually.
That will do, I guess.
War it's room. Like, originally it came out and That'll we do. Immediately gave them an
I
F.
Guess.
And now they're like passing.
See?
It's like maybe a low B.
So I have something I want to talk about that I think is something, you know how, and it's a good subject for Lance.
Talk to Mandrown.
I'm working on it. Lance brought up sort of graduating to a higher tier of play and how you get there, right? I don't know how else. I don't remember exactly how you described that.
Breaking out of like middle tier.
Right. And just yeah. kind of moving up, right?
Yeah.
And I accidentally stumbled on a conversation when I was talking to Trevor because I watched a lot of Trevor Christensen's games from Chain Attack, and I've played against him one game, and what I starkly remember about that game is Trevor got way out in front of me when we were playing. I was playing Rask versus Tubby, and part of that is sort of the interaction of Tubby's feet and Rask's feet helped me mitigate some of that, but I didn't play as well in the early game as Trevor did, and he really got an advantage on me early. And what I noticed was his initial game plan is very strong. His execution is very strong in the early game. But as the game got longer and longer and things became more dynamic, I was able to kind of dig past him and pass him on the attrition game and ended up winning pretty well. And the reason I think for that is he's very good at formulating a plan, sticking to it, doing what his list does, until everything goes out the window and you have to just play, which is something that I learned from watching Chuck. Because Chuck is just the master of, like, random stuff, doing random things. Like, it's seemingly random. I mean, he's always got a plan. He's got that steel trap mind of his, you know, just like... But you're just, like, watching, and then suddenly, like, a bunch of stuff is dead. And you're like, well, you know...
I played games like that. Actually, I played a game like that at TempoCon, where that was the game I was playing against Dan Riker. And all my long riders died without making a single attack. And I was like, well, I'm pretty much going to lose this game. And then you just battle back. Like, you just stay in the game and formulate a plan. And so you're describing a situation where he had a very strong opening game. And if you look at the state of the game and you're like, you know, who's lost what models, who has, you know, expended what resources to do that. And he is clearly ahead. And you're like, if the game keeps going on this course, he will win.
Yeah.
And then somehow you come back an hour later and you've won.
Yep. Closing games is not easy.
Yeah, because it's what you were talking about. It's a tangent to that because it requires playing outside of the box, I guess.
Because
it's after your list has it's after the armies have broken down to such a point that their normal functions are no longer what they were. Like, you don't have the same, like, in my P-Denny list, I wouldn't have the plan to, like, I'll just crippling grasp that and shoot it to death. Like, that's what I do every turn, pretty much. Just, like, I pick something, I crippling grasp it, and I shoot it to death. It's like, I can't do that anymore. There aren't enough, I don't have enough guns left. My arc nodes are all dead. Things have changed. I have to do something completely different. I have to charge with the Negra. I have to do something totally bizarre.
We have talked about... We've touched on topics like this before. We might have even talked about it on We've podcasted 161 or 163 episodes by now. We've talked about everything. But I'm very curious, though, if you could go over what specifically did you do to bring the game back around in your favor?
It was just favorably trading pieces from the mid to late game on. Just got me back in the game.
Do you think that Trevor got basically... Do you think his good early game put him in such a position that he felt confident enough to start making... To start...
Overcommitting?
Yeah, overcommitting or being sloppier with his positioning because it doesn't matter. You know, we all definitely get in situations like this where you're like, well, I'm so far ahead, it doesn't really matter. Like, my positioning in this zone isn't 100%. Perfect, but you know, like I'm not really considering fully his threat ranges, but I've killed so much of his army that it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah, actually, I think Trevor had a different problem.
I'm just describing the thought processes that go through my mind.
Yep.
But.
I've definitely seen that. I've definitely done exactly what you're talking about. But I'm not trying to pick on Trevor, but we were just having this conversation because I was trying to help him because he's a good friend of mine. And I've seen a lot of games where this experience has happened to me many times where I've walked by a game, looked at the board state, thought to myself, pretty sure Trevor's going to win this game.
And as a Scorn player, Trevor very much values John's advice on all these.
Yeah, John's the best.
On all matters.
No, like, it's not about that. But anyway, but then I would come back later and he will have squandered his good early position. And so I actually asked him this question. I said, Trevor, when you practice at home, when you play with people, do people quit on you a lot? He said, yeah, I usually get ahead. And then they're like, well, you're going to win. Let's play again. Let's do something else. So he actually never gets the opportunity. Like in poker, for example, if you never played shorthanded, the game is different when you're shorthanded.
Up.
What's that?
Or heads up.
Or heads up, exactly. Right. And the game changes quite a bit more.
It's super different in heads up. Than it is in normal play.
Yeah.
You're like, all of a sudden...
And so I think...
The 10-point game of totally random bits of your army is way different than the 50-point game of full armies.
So somebody that sort of has the opposite thing going on, somebody that is really, really good at closing games, no matter what the board state is, no matter what's going on, is Chuck. And if you look at Chuck, I don't think he's ever quit a game. I don't think he's ever given up. So he just naturally has more experience playing in those situations, getting... as much as he can out of models and putting himself in situations to maybe get a little lucky.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, the nice thing about War Machine, and this is completely different than, like, Magic the Gathering or even Hearthstone, is there is the likelihood of you getting in a zero-out situation in War Machine is very, very slim. It's like you have literally no beats to their caster, and they're going to win on scenario when you say go.
Yeah.
Like, that's the zero-out situation in War Machine. Whereas, you know, like in Hearthstone and stuff, like, I scoop games, and John's like, why are you scooping? I'm like, because I know my deck. There's literally no outs I can draw, and it's because it's a dice game. And so there's always some sort of way, and there's like, in 99% of the situations, there's always a way to bring it back.
You could just one-shot that B.
Yeah,
well,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or like, if you make attacks on their caster, then there's a chance that your dice will cause you to win.
I mean, like, I haven't scooped on, like, Epicane, where he's just, like, going for an assassination run, and I, like, misplaced, like, something incorrectly, and I'm just like, oh, well, I'm probably dead here, but Kane might just roll snakes four times and I'll win. Like, that could just happen. Like,
So before I want to start formulating more concrete thoughts on this, I just want to make sure that I just want to confirm with you. Do you feel like this is a different topic than the advice that I've given in the past, where if you're you need to identify whether you're winning or losing the game, and then you need to determine what steps that you need to what you need to be concerned about immediately, regarding whether or not you are winning or losing.
Yes.
So, like, if you're losing the game, you need to decide. You need to note. First of all, you need to identify that you're losing the game, and then. you need to start taking riskier and riskier plays to try and get you back into the game. And if you're winning the game, you need to identify that you're winning the game. And then you need to identify what are the ways that I can possibly lose. Now that I'm ahead, what are the ways that I can possibly lose?
And mitigate.
And try and mitigate or counter those ways preemptively.
This is the difference, and let me know if I'm off base. This is the difference between, like, for golfing, this is the difference between your driving and your green game. This is the difference between... It's not a question of how far ahead or behind you are. It's just a question of how do you play in the early game versus how do you play in the late game.
Yeah, so...
A complicated topic.
It is, which is why I wanted to talk about it, because when Trevor and I got into this discussion, like, I feel like he had a couple of aha moments, and I'm like, you know what? I bet there's a lot of other people out there that are in a very... have very similar experiences... And I thought maybe we can talk about it. And I'm not saying we're the foremost experts, but we can all close a game. Like, we've done that. I've also pissed on my leg and not closed a game. So we'll just get that on the table.
Mm-hmm. I think there's similarities in these two discussions than the topic that I brought up.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think that there's some differences. So,
sure.
Some things that you can do to sort of continue to press your advantage, or even if you're behind, you can make... attacks with things that you normally don't make attacks with and get lucky. You know, if your choir is out of position and you don't really have any jacks to battle, just take charges with them. It's fine.
Yep.
You know, you can zot people with vassal bolts. Sometimes that's even better than enlivening something because nothing's really, you know, nothing's threatening your jack. So go kill something.
We mentioned this before. This is why trolls are... so kind of superlative at the battle back game is because it's like, oh, we're down to scraps. It's like, get in there, Creelstone. It's like, whoa,
scraps, fell caller.
These guys are way better than my choir boys. Ah, they're all dead.
Yeah.
And even before you get to that point, there's ways in positioning and playing the shorthanded game to take high quality attacks on your opponent while simultaneously denying them good counterattacks, just in what you choose to go after and what you kind of expose when you do that. And it's hard. It's a really nebulous concept and hard to explain, but it's kind of like when you play pool, when you take your shot, like you're trying to hit your shot, but you also are trying to leave your lay when you're done to have another good shot, and also defensively to not give your opponent a good shot in case you miss.
I actually know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But it's hard to describe how to do that in a war machine sense. But, you know, like if you're looking at a table, often you'll do things like, well, I could attack, you know, these guys are these guys, but if I kind of focus my attacks on these like four infantry guys and these two solos, yeah, I'm not kind of getting over to this stuff over there, but I'm not having to move up as much, and then his other stuff doesn't have as good of attacks on the counter-strike, right? So you're continuing to press your advantage. You're maybe not taking everything that's available to you, but you're also not giving anything, you know? So, like, if... to put it in a mathematical term, if I could take 10 points off the table from you and give you 2, that's better than taking 15 points off the table and giving you 14.
Or even a different way of looking at it is, I guess, I don't know, this concept's really hard for me to wrap my mind around and differentiate it from the thing that I was talking about.
It also is different based on what you're playing. And this is where it gets really complicated, because you say... It's better mathematically to take 10 and give 2 than take 15 and give 14 most of the time. Sometimes...
it does depend on what that 15-point thing is.
Well, and I'm not even necessarily talking about what the models are, although that's obviously another, yet again, factor of complication.
Yeah.
But if I'm playing Assyria and you're playing Butcher 3, you can give away more than I do.
It's true.
Yeah,
because once you get on the once you get to the green game, if we're both on the green game, I'm straight screwed.
velocity.
Cannot get far enough away.
And Butcher's like, green game. This is where I live. So
it's called roll.
So you have to know. So you also have to be. Yeah. So it's a question of, does your caster prefer one kind of game over the other. Like, if you're playing an Epic Haley, don't want any part of the green game.
Same with Tubby.
Haley can kind of, because of her control spells towards the end of the game, can be a real kick in the nuts.
But I've seen her fall apart in so many games where you're just like, well, there's no way I can win in this game. And then suddenly you're just like, wait a minute. Her feat was miserable, but I only lost, like, 8 points worth of stuff.
You'd much rather close out the scenario with her or an assassination before armies get below 50%.
Sure.
That's another thing that we should probably talk about. The state of scenario makes a big difference, too, right?
Yeah.
So
if you give away that 15 points, or if you give away that 14 points to take 15.
And those, score a control point.
But those last few points got you that control point, maybe it was worth it. If you're set up for a win next turn and you have enough additional resources that you'll be able to clear the zone again. So it's really, you have to make a lot of complex assessments towards the end of the game.
Sort of like identifying, like, what is the most likely way for me to close out, what is the most likely way for me to win the game at this point in time?
Having
that's a scenario victory.
Having a plan for victory that is executable based on what is left on the table.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to for how to close games, is the ability to formulate a plan that will result in victory based on remaining pieces.
And
sometimes that plan is, you're just like, well, I have no way of winning besides killing their caster. I need to assassinate them, so you need to put them in you need to outthink them and try and... I'm not sure if anyone's ever done this to me. I'm not sure if I've ever done this, but, situations where you're like, I have two models in my army that can kill their caster, my caster and this other thing, like this warjack or whatever. I'm going to put that warjack in a spot where only their caster can kill it, and if they go for it, I need to have my caster in a space, in a place where I can counter to try and kill them.
And you may not be even giving yourself a good chance to kill them, but even sometimes giving yourself the 20% out is the best you can hope for.
That's definitely something I wanted to make that point, but more on a larger scale of something where when you're getting towards the end of the game, even at the beginning of the game, but more so towards the end of the game, where you start looking at the bare bone, like the bits of your army that are left and the bits of the army that they have left, and then thinking to yourself, what pieces do they want to kill to win the game? Because there's always like one or two models where they're like, if I kill that, then like I've got this locked up, and then you're in the same boat. So, like, oftentimes, I'm going to relate this to chess, where I'll, like, put some piece out there that they, like, want to kill, but the thing that they're going to kill it with is something that I really want to kill. So, like, trade, like, I put a rook out there, and then they're like, move the queen in, and then you're like, queen dies to whatever, like, my leftover pawns or whatever. But as long as I can kill that one piece that's left of theirs... Like
a really terrible chess player who's moving their queen into the range of a pawn.
Yeah, surprise. The chess analogy doesn't work with War Machine because there are dice. Yeah. but the point is that, like, I really, like, they have this valuable, that what I think is an extremely valuable piece because I know what it will do to me if it continues to live, and I know they want to kill this thing, so I'm going to bait that out with this and then set up some sort of, like, counterstrike to kill the thing that I really want to get rid of.
Mm-hmm. So we've made the point in the past that you should never give up and learn how to play when you're way behind, because you'll learn how to sort of close games from, getting your teeth kicked in. But I think there's just as much value from learning how to close games from being in a winning position.
Or an equal one. I mean,
actually,
you don't often give up. I
saw an example of this at the game shop today when Lance was playing against Maxon, and Josh sort of killed... Josh was playing Bart Galleon versus Epic Iris, and he sniped out both Iron Fang Kovniks on the, like, very, very early in the game, and that made you feel like you were very far behind because now you had nothing to do, because they stopped their big component in stopping his feet from being very effective with no sleeping on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you just didn't realize it, I think, that the Black Dragon IFP have the one turn of immunity to knockdown.
The Iron Zeal. Yeah, I always think of it for the armor stationary. I forgot the knockdown.
But so, like, that's an
immunity.
Instance where getting, losing those pieces early on, even though they're a small portion of the overall army, it feels really, really bad. But with, sort of canny play, and then, you have to change the You have to change the direction of how you want to use Iron Zeal then, because you can't really use it defensively. You have to use it more offensively. So it does make it does make them less effective, but you still have that, you know, option of changing your overall game plan to still have effectiveness later on, you know. I'm not sure it 100% applies because it's kind of early.
Yeah,
it's a very
it is.
Early
no, but it's a good example of being – so, I mean, what we're ultimately talking about is having – a flexible game plan and being able to take any situation and doing what's optimal. And the really the only way to learn that is to practice, because there's just too many – like I don't think – I mean, we can give you things to think about, but I don't think I could teach somebody how to do that without a lot of games of them just playing the game and learning how to close out or not get closed out on.
This specific topic gives me a sort of definition. It helps me – it helps me in just a thought exercise sort of better define my play style.
Mm-hmm.
In the early games, I'm just trying to points trade in a value in an efficient way. I'm trying to kill things for little return while maintaining some scenario presence, et cetera, but basically just killing stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just killing stuff. And then as we get further into the game, turn three, turn four is when I start reevaluating things. I go into what's left, what do they have left, can I win this turn? Can I win in two turns? And usually at the beginning of the games, I'm not as concerned. Like, I'm not really looking for assassinations.
You're
I'm
just
not
trying to make value plays.
I'm just basically trying to make value plays, get card advantage. And then in the
lot of assassinations in those first few turns.
You can miss. You can miss a lot of assassinations.
That's something I'm starting to learn from playing Rut.
Absolutely, but oftentimes they're lower value assassinations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or to scalp out like linchpins to their army,
exactly,
things like that. You're not really concentrating on killing everything. You're trying to kill just those.
I'm not
pieces.
Making winning moves. Right. I'm making moves for advantage.
Right.
He's making moves to set up the win later.
Yeah. Right. And then I start looking for a way to win turn three, turn four.
He's gaining advantaged board position, to use a chess analogy. You know, he's trying to dominate the center.
Control
of the board.
The middle.
Yep.
Eliminate key pieces.
Yep. And I actually think...
And that allows me to save some brain power.
Yeah. And I think so all successful players that I've watched kind of do that.
Going back to the original thing, so that's why I wanted to know about more about this game, because it was Rask versus Tubby.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was? And so you popped your feet, I'm guessing, and got a somewhat good alpha strike, and then I'm guessing he just sort of came in and...
No, I popped my feet... And I got jammed with gators, which is why I thought he played really well, because he sacrificed some gators to prevent me from doing much of anything. So
the real meat of his army is the Titans.
Yeah. And then he popped his feet to give my counterstroke. It was bad. I was just like, oh, man, I really misplayed this, because I allowed him to get his gators into position to stop me from being able to charge with very much value after my feet. So he played the early game way better than I did. And, I mean, that was my lack of experience with Rask and his extreme experience. Yeah, with Tubby. And then he just timed his feet really well. He positioned really well to use his sentry to sort of be the one thing I could get to. And I had to get really creative to climb back in the game. So one of the things I had to do was I had to get a Rassler onto his sentry from like 14 inches away. Like, he didn't see that coming. And that's one of the things that allowed me to get that sentry out of there that he didn't think he thought was going to last another turn. And that's what kind of started my climb back into the game. He also...
Was he just not positioned to hit the Rassler back? Or
No. Because the wrong flag disappeared.
Okay.
And so that also kind of screwed up his game plan. Because we were playing Incursion, I believe. And then... So he had to kind of spend a turn repositioning, and that was kind of the turn I used to kind of get back into the game. Because I was... Because
we had a free turn, basically.
Close to a free turn, but yeah. And so we kind of played from there. But his early game was amazing. His mid game kind of fell apart on him a little bit because he wasn't positioned such that if the wrong flag disappeared, you know what I mean? That he would, and we talked about it afterwards. He's like, "Oh, I should have been positioned like this."
So
I mean,
he could go in either direction.
Kind of, yeah. And I'm not doing a really good job because this game was at lock and load, So
like,
last year?
Like 8 months ago.
Last June,
It
July.
Might have been last year. It might have been the year. That was last year when I played Rask. Yeah. So yeah, it was at Lock and Load during the... We played our game during the Press Gang Invitational.
It was like 9 months ago now.
Yeah. But I just remember being behind early. I remember talking about the game with Trevor, and he was just like, I felt so good. So good. And then it just like all fell apart. And then he said, I'm the only person that's ever killed all of his Titans in his Rasheth list. I mean, it took me some time, and I had to kind of do some things, and you know, I'm paralyzing shotting some beasts so they can't.
See, like, that's the situation where I'm imagining you sort of going like, oh man, yeah, he's got me really good. Except, you know, if you just look at the board positions right now and you look at the points left on either side of the table, you're like, wow, Trevor has three times as many points left as I do. Except one of these Titans is in a position where if I kill it, none of his other Titans can get to the stuff that I killed it with.
Correct.
And so you just go and kill it, and you get a free Titan, and then next turn, he repositions his stuff to try and get back onto you, and you go, oh, now this other Titan, you know, now this other thing over here, you know, on this other, you know, this completely different thing now, like I can kill that and get in a position where he can't retaliate on me, and you just keep doing that over and over again.
Yeah,
until that's actually something huge that I think we all do that I don't see a lot of people doing War Machine. Now that I think about that. So, like, again, back to chess. Like, every time you watch someone play chess, like, almost every single valuable, not pawns, are protected by, like, two other ways to, like, screw whatever kill came in. I mean, even pawns are protected by other things, right? Mm-hmm. There's always, like, if they attack this model, this is going to kill that. And when you don't do that, you give your opponent amazing opportunities to just remove points from your army with no,
a repercussion.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wasn't necessarily getting no repercussion, but I was doing things like trading gators.
Minimizing it.
Yeah, two gators for beasts, you know, running a couple in the way while I was killing the other beast and kind of forcing him to deal with, you know, just being annoying because I was behind. And then I ended up getting ahead. And I'm using that as an example. Trevor is a really good player. He just needs to learn how to close out games, and he's going to be really dangerous. I mean, he already qualifies for Masters very regularly,
mm-hmm.
right? But the difference between winning a convention and qualifying for Masters, not that I'm the foremost expert on this by any means, definitely not, all right, so don't call me out, is not losing games that you should win in situations that you should win, winning games that you probably shouldn't win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how you get
one
to the end.
That be?
Yeah. That's how you win a convention, right?
Every time you say that, Keith, like, cringes a little bit.
Sometimes, I mean, I talk to Jake Van Meter all the time about this. You have to get a little lucky to win one of those things. Like, certain things happen along the way that just...
I think you have to get more than a little lucky.
Okay, maybe you have to get a lot of lucky. But you have to be able to put yourself in those positions. And I have no doubt that Trevor's really close. But for those players that are trying to find, okay, how can I spend my time? I feel like I play good. I execute my plans. My lists have a strategy. I'm getting into the mid-game fine. If they really think about it, I think they may find or evaluate that where I'm really falling apart is in the mid to late game.
Mm-hmm. I can talk about it. I have so many examples of this happening to me, and I'm just now as we're talking about it. My game against Will Pagani at Lock and Load, actually, or at TempleCon, actually, where even though I lost the biggest beef in my army, I still probably could have closed the game out by just concentrating on keeping what I had left and trying to, you know, get as much value out of what I had left as possible. Like killing, like Earthborn can easily kill two Griffins a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't need to kill very many before he's pretty much incapable of killing the Earthborn anymore, since Iris can't shoot the Earthborn's
Animus
armor down.
Yeah.
And rather than realize, like, I did not realize that, and I went for the assassination, which was much, much, you know, more risky.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up failing. Whereas, like, after the game, I realized that was another mistake that I made, where if I had just decided to not go for the assassination, even though, and I think Will might have even realized that, maybe I'm giving him more credit than he deserves, but he might have even realized that, like, if he put himself in a risky position, that I might have gone for the assassination, even though it was very, and even though it was possible that I could have killed him, it was low enough odds that he felt that it was better to give me that chance than just playing the game out as it was going, where I kill his lights as he comes into my heavy, and then he's eventually left with nothing, and I'm left with a heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I, like...
And then also, I'll just point out, if you had played against that particular list before, right, if you had ever played against Griffin Span, you probably would have came to that conclusion and been able to execute a better plan.
Right,
and so that's that experience thing I was talking about. Like, I can't really teach you in every situation. Like, I don't even know every situation. Like, I don't know that I can teach somebody to deal with that other than you got to play. You got to play a lot.
So, I mean, that's the situation for me where I needed to pretty much decide. Like, because the decision that I came to at that time was like, man, I'm losing this game. I've lost Mulg and my Mauler, you know, and now I've got all I've got left is this Axer and this Earthborn, and, like, I'm really far behind. And he's only lost a couple of lights that are worth way less points than Mulg and a Mauler, you know. I'm behind in this game. I need to get ahead. Or I need to close it. I need to close it specifically right now with an assassination. That was my, I felt like my biggest chance to win.
Yeah.
When, if I had been thinking about it more clearly, you know, it's like, well, every time he loses a Griffin, his
max power goes down by one.
Every time he loses his Griffin, yeah, his output goes down significantly.
Yep.
And my staying power doesn't ever really diminish with the Earthborn. Like, it's always going to be armor 22, you know. That then the most vulnerable part of my army becomes Doomshaper, and it's not particularly hard to protect him.
That's one of the reasons why I favored the casters that I did for so long, the Lich 2s and Epic Canes of the world. It's just like, I live in the short game. Like, just get me there, and we'll get it done. Like,
yep.
Kane can chip him in all day long. So yeah. Can Gatsby. And now I'm playing the Denegras a bit more, and they are early. They've got a much better long and mid game than they do short games. Their short games aren't terrible.
They're not terrible, but yeah, it's not like Gatsby.
No.
Where you're like, all you've got left is your caster, and all I've got left is Epic Lich.
GG.
Why aren't you shaking my hand?
Or even worse.
All you've got left is your caster, and all I've got left is Denegra. Let's play this out, I guess.
We should probably classify that as late game, not necessarily short game.
Well, he's talking about the golf analogy.
This is my golf analogy.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's the ultra-late game, actually. Yeah. I wouldn't even classify that as late game.
Yeah, you almost never get to that point, right?
Yeah.
So,
that's why I like casters like Madrak and Borka. Is because and why I was so originally turned off by Kalandra and Doomshaper is because when they get down to the short game, you know, they're not very offensive.
Yeah.
You know, they're not very scary.
It's a problem.
I mean,
powerful attack!
It's interesting because almost every Menoth caster I play is not great in the short game.
No. And that's why I was saying earlier, like, I don't think Menoth really has problems late game, because usually if Menoth gets to the, like, super ultra late game, like, they're not going to be...
Yeah.
It's like, am I playing Krios 3?
Krios
2. Or Fiora 1 or 2?
Resnik.
Yes.
Thyra. Not terrible. Actually, maybe I'm not giving my... it's just not the casters I play, because I'm always running around with...
Harvey.
High Reclaimer and... 71.
Harbinger.
Yeah. Pancreas, you know.
She can close out some games, like Ashlyn games.
No. Yeah, it is interesting. Like, I mean, but like Severius.
Yeah.
He does not want to be there.
Nope. He's just like, exit stage left.
Dude, 72 is fine. Put the fear of God in him.
You mean Creator's
and
Wrath?
And then Creator's Wrath.
No, 72 is not fine, even with Creator's Wrath.
Yeah, no,
you're
I
just
know.
Like,
I was playing a game.
What?
I was playing a game against someone, and they were playing it's like a demo game or something, or like just a very low point game. I'm like, Severius 2 is going to cast Creator's Wrath turn 1, and I'll keep it all game, because he's eventually going to end this game in melee with P-Haley, and I'm going to kill her with my Creator's Wrath Severius.
Then
the turn he, like, attacks Severius and fails to kill him, and there's Kaylee on no camp. I'm like, yes, it's happening. This is it. And then he just whiff, 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 whiff. And then she just goes, and he died.
Creator's Wrath is an additional die.
It is. I was boosting to hit.
Four dice to hit?
Yeah, yeah, 12. 12 on four dice. Not too hard. Sevi, yes, it is, apparently.
That's awesome.
Prepare to feel the wrath of the creator.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it's not that bad.
I just thought it was an interesting subject because it actually made me stop and think about the game in a way that I hadn't before. And it made me sort of evaluate, okay, so what's actually going on here? Like, I had to think about it. So, and then Trevor and I just had a really good talk and sort of kind of got going. But
very good. Is that all for us today?
You guys want to do anything else? I mean, we're only 2 hours in. I don't want our listeners to feel gypped because we used to put out like 3.5 hours a week and now we're putting out like
1 a.m.
All right, thank you for tuning in to episode 162 of Muse Unbound.
Let's do a quick segment.
Is it number seven? Tell me it's number seven.
Yeah, that one sounds like fun. What is your most dreaded mirror match? And I'm going to define mirror match as caster on caster.
Dang it, that
Bart v Bart.
That's a pretty bad one. So that's pretty bad.
We talked about this the other day, and
I can't remember what it was.
We came to one where we were like, that is literally the worst. And
what was it?
I had a lot of not fun playing McBain on McBain.
Yeah, that was McBain. You talked about that one time where you guys...
That happened at a tournament.
Yeah, you kept pairing each other.
No, you're right, Crump. I remember this. Yeah. I remember that we were specifically talking about some...
Terminus v Terminus? No, that's got to be miserable. No. Because nobody will ever spend their focus.
Where were we? Were we at Ames?
And they can never kill each other.
I think it was on last Thursday.
I don't think I was there.
Oh, God.
But there's a right answer?
There is a right answer. I forget what it is. It's going to kill me. Oh, my God.
They came to it and were just like, that is... I would rather just, like, stab myself in the dick.
God.
So graphic.
I think it was a troll on troll. Oh, it was Runes of War on Runes of War.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
That's pretty miserable.
I mean, the heavies can kill one another. But the feat is pretty miserable. It's like two turns of like...
I mean, it's just... That is probably the best definition of slugs fucking.
Thank you, Lance. Lance, that's it.
There's been a bunch. It's all right.
My
2 hours, 5 minutes, 46 seconds in.
Yeah. My Runeshaper shooter, your Runeshapers.
It was because eventually both Runeshaper units engage each other, and they can't advance because of force lock, so they're just sitting at each other going like, point blank magic missile, tough check. Point blank magic missile, tough check. Point blank magic missile.
Gorton v. Gorton has traditionally been really unpleasant as well. It's like, you are the slowest thing ever, and I push you back. It's like, you are the slowest thing ever, and I push you back. And it's like, no!
Oh, my God. That sounds horrible.
That does sound pretty bad.
There's got to be worse.
Pop's geriatric, like, pillow fight. It's just like, I'm coming back.
Oh,
Hannah!
Oh.
You're dead!
No,
I figured it out. Right. Baldur 3 tier versus Baldur 3. Or Baldur 2 tier versus Baldur 2 tier.
Worse. Worse. Oh, wait,
That's awful, right?
What do you got, Crump?
Morvana 1 versus Morvana 1. Ding, ding, ding.
No, the feet RFPs. The feet RFPs.
Oh, my God. It's relevant.
I actually think the Baldur 2 one is just as bad.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That would be so awful.
You're like, well, this World Watcher is going to punch your World Watcher. Dice mine. 11. Boost to hit, 0. Boost to hit with my second one, also 0. All right, your turn. All right, my World Watcher is going to punch your World Watcher.
Yeah, that's pretty unbearable.
Boost to hit, or boost damage.
So the person,
did a point. Baldur's like a heal it.
The person with the battle engine wins because the key is to light them on fire. So that when they're not affected by spells, it's only dice out 5. Burn! Burn!
You're just burning the rocks to death. That's your plan.
Do you have a better one?
No.
Like both? No. This is it. Is they're both just like World Watchers, just like circle jerking each other, and then like both Baldurs are sitting in the back, just going Super Saiyan. They're like, I'm gonna get Ultron, and then like finally charge in, and then are just like dice minus 4 still. Like, they have five
I'm
warm tokens.
23!
They have, like, five warm tokens, so he's probably strength 19, and it's still dice off, like, four.
Oh, my God. That's... I'm calling it for Balder v. Balder.
Yeah, I think you win, John.
Good job.
Pretty good.
Good job.
But I think the question might have been, what's your personal most dreaded mirror? And as a Crix player, I don't really have one. I'm not super excited when I'm playing Signar about the Epic Haley mirror. There's nothing fun about the Epic Haley mirror.
Oh, it's super sweet, though, because when she casts Time Bomb, it gets added to your spell list for the next turn.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Does that, like, rule ever come up? I feel like it could occasionally
yeah,
be a
cast
blue
grip.
I mirror magic.
What? Did the person just not know what that rule
was? A trap.
It was a little bit of a trap. Haley almost died because I couldn't resist, like, casting it and going empty, but...
yeah, and then there was like a behemoth.
There's
right?
an epic sorcerer drifting blast damage at me under the feet.
This is why I always want Thorn with Haley, so you can live the dream.
I had Thorn. I had Thorn.
Wait, what? Then how did you come close?
Behemoth can get blast damage on you from a long ways away. I was like hiding
Wait,
behind woods
did you
and
double
everything.
Freezing grip or something?
No, just one.
No, oh, because you could double. That would
could.
Be legit.
You could.
No, you can't do that because I would just make my head break.
No, you can do it. She's a focus.
No, I understand that.
It's literally possible.
The squire reroll, like, it's real doable.
I mean, she's only focus 8, so, you know, I'm pretty sure she's going to have trouble hitting those deaf 12 troops.
Oh, man, that's, yeah.
It's like, miserable. What it feels like to be Sorsha and feet?
It's like, all your pirates are freezing gripped. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty annoying. All your winter guard is freezing gripped.
That's way better.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That's but yeah, not a big fan of the Epic Haley mirror. That's my personal least favorite to play.
They need to make
I
that ability.
By mirror if he means
faction mirror.
Faction or specifically caster.
My least favorite caster mirror that I've played is the Epic Lilith versus Epic Lilith mirror.
Oh, yeah, she's just constantly afraid of dying.
It's just a stupid dice fest.
Just like, neither, well, neither person is Shadow Pack. Forget this spell.
Yep.
It's just unless there are raptors, then you don't forget that spell.
Indeed.
It's basically whoever gets a bead on, like, two of the opponent's heavies first, and then can keep their caster alive.
As long as you don't, like, it really boils down to dice, because it's, the threat ranges are so long. Like, it is whoever like, feats first usually wins, but I've had my dice fail so bad in that situation where then my opponent just, you know, it's just stupid.
Hey, my ghost.
No. Yep.
For trolls, I don't know. It might, like, Runes of War on Runes of War does sound miserable. There actually is a threat in the Trollpit forums right now that's like, how do we deal with Runes of War? Which I think is kind of funny.
Play Runes of War.
No, you play Jarl with 2 units of warders, a full unit of champions.
I think a lot of stuff in Trolls actually deals with Runes of War pretty well. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but Troll stuff hits hard.
Yeah.
Hello? I mean, if you have trouble cracking armor in Trolls, I don't know what to tell you. Well, literally just makes me want to go like...
Also, yeah. Epic Doomshapers, or also Prime Doomshapers, real easy to kill.
Yeah.
He's just very vulnerable. Even when he's hiding behind a wall, you're like, gotcha. But, yeah, I don't know. I've played Epic Madrak on Epic Madrak as well, and that's also very unfun.
Actually, troll mirrors in general are pretty unfun.
Yeah, that thing you said.
Yeah.
I mean, I think every faction versus that own faction...
No, I actually love playing Menoth mirrors. I like playing Menoth on Menoth. I always feel very comfortable in those games.
I hate playing circle on circle. Like, obviously I know what my opponent's stuff does, but I'm just like, ugh. I know what my opponent's stuff does. I don't want to deal with this. This is...
Lance?
Lance, are you okay?
Tired.
So sleepy.
Kudo matchups. I'm trying to think. What would be particularly bad...
Butcher v. Butcher sounds funny.
It would be
just
interesting.
Like looking at each other from across the battlefield.
Butcher 3 or...
Yeah.
Figure that's what we meant.
Butcher 2
is an actual...
Butcher 2 mirror. Whoever rolls the 6 first wins.
We're going at each other. How much focus do you have?
Which Doom Reavers are these?
Those
are mine.
Can you imagine, like, if they're both playing the tier list, the contortions they go through to stop Butcher from swimming to the other Butcher?
Yeah. They're like,
They're just like...
You gotta get everything away from me.
Well, there's too many of them. I don't know if you can spread out. You're like, what are those guys?
The Doom Reavers are marching like in single file, like lines, like perfect berserk targets.
I mean, you better be sure that you get there, though.
Yep.
Because if you don't,
the other butcher will roll one focus and then not kill you.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think a one focus butcher, or I think two focus butcher still kills an empty butcher.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably.
Fives dice off two.
It is the butcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably dead.
He's got 20. He's got 20 HP. He's pretty beefy.
Yeah, maybe not. Three attacks, fives to hit, dies off too.
I think he's still good.
I'm trying to think of anything particular that would be off. I don't know. Most stuff's immune to cold, so they wouldn't care about sorcery feet.
I can see an Irisk one matchup being not a lot of fun.
Yeah, just massive tough rolls.
Total obedience! Total obedience! Like, oh, this is balls.
Yeah, just anything that grinds. You know, any attrition caster.
Inhospitable ground. He's like, the very same.
Actually, that Gorton v. Gorton matchup is... That stupid solid ground, too, just makes that game really dumb. Where they're just both like, oh, I can't kill any of your stuff, you can't kill any of my stuff.
I don't know. Denny 1 versus Denny 1 sounds...
It's miserable.
Hilarious. It's just like, I feed it first.
Yeah, feeding first and...
It's like, I feed it first and Kai, your caster. Good game. The other one's like, walk 4 feet. Ugh.
Feet 10 inches, less good.
Yep.
Also, it's actually really scary to feet because of stupid Scourge. You're just like, ugh. Well, I mean, I feel pretty good right now, but...
As long as they don't have any guns that are really, really close. Like, the nice thing about feeding with the Negra is you can usually do some pretty easy math.
Yeah.
Like, I was playing a game with her in a tournament a few weeks ago, or just last week, where I was like, okay, so if I feed on this model from this distance, there's literally nothing that can do. If I feed on this model from this distance, and like, can I make all that geometrically work? Yes, I can. So the only thing that can literally do any damage to me is your caster can drift spells at me.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Dawn Guards, they need to be within 5 inches to shoot me, and they can only advance 3. So as long as I'm more than 8 inches away from all of them, I'm good. Yep. And that's super easy done.
So,
ta-da!
Actually,
I can measure that out.
Speaking of that tournament in Cedar Rapids.
Yes.
A blast.
It was. We went to a tournament in Cedar Rapids.
Despite us all disgracing.
You guys are done.
Like,
I was playing Retribution,
no,
John.
I don't want to hear your excuses.
It's not my fault.
Listen.
I didn't go, John.
All right, here's the deal. All right, just so you know, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we
watch him disrespect you.
Yes.
We don't mean to be
racist. We do not go to Minnesota, Eastern Iowa, Omaha, and have all of our guys lose in the first 2 rounds but Keith. That is not okay. Not okay.
Wow.
I'm ashamed of you guys.
Shots fired.
Also, you could put Madison on that list and...
Chicago.
Chicago? Oh, that's what
it is. The state of Illinois.
Yeah, the state of Illinois. You cannot go to, like, if you're going to go and wave the flag...
I wasn't waving any flag.
Yeah, you represent us. I was so embarrassed. I was like, really? All of
I
you guys...
I show my face.
Yeah. It was terrible.
They
Keith.
Lost to fellow Iowans.
I love those
no.
guys.
No, they didn't. Fellow Iowans.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's fine. And I'm sure those guys are great. But we just don't do that.
But you're all terrible players.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say...
You have a shame to your family.
No. I didn't say they were terrible players. I just expect more out of these guys.
Out of your guys.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right, next time I won't play
losing right. Then four people losing in the first round.
Right?
Yeah. No, Fox won
Keith,
in the first
me
round.
Up. Back me up.
I was pretty surprised when Keith told
nope.
me that.
I thought Fox won round one.
I was like, well, they were all playing so. Against each other,
yeah,
right?
Round
he was
one
like,
one
no,
maybe Fox did hang in for round. No, he did not. He lost in round one.
Well, we are all terrible. I'm playing Circle now, so yes. That problem has been fixed.
We'll see.
Oh, we will see.
It better be fixed. I'm just telling you, you guys cannot...
Hey,
listen, yeah. You're not leaving our meta. We obviously need to go back to training. Because this is
training?
We need
Where
it.
Was that?
We need it. It's just not okay. I'm sorry. I'm just not okay with it.
Remember the next time we go to a tournament and John loses round one. Remember this day.
When was the last time that
just
happened?
Just remember this. I don't know, like 5 years ago.
How about
that's
never?
The last time you went to a tournament.
John's semi-retired.
I know.
He only goes to big conventions so that when he loses, he has an excuse as to why.
Also, Josh crumped me big time.
Oh, because you got pared down in the last round.
And he beat, like, my SOS guys.
I love you, Josh. You're
like,
the man.
Keith was just crushing everyone, and then the next round, Josh would play that person, and then beat them, and so Keith's ranking was
big time.
Just always.
By the
so
way,
when we cut with multiple undefeateds, I got second.
For the record, it would have been fine if Keith lost in the first round, and you guys all won. I'm good with this.
Why are you looking at me? I didn't go. I had to work.
It's all your fault, Chad.
Yeah, you should have went.
Crummy big.
I mean, I probably wouldn't have lost in the first round.
I hope not.
I'm pretty confident of that.
Yeah. I just could not believe it. I just was beside myself.
I made a mistake.
All right. And now that we've insulted every state in the neighborhood, I'm going to sign us off for the evening. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Before you sign us off.
Cup to cup.
Yeah, one more thing.
No pirate
no
jokes.
No pirate jokes. I have one more thing.
Oh, my God.
There is... Dude.
They're going to call for your head.
Only
people without...
what I would like to do at this point is bring in my friend Josh Maxson.
Go!
Tell everyone a joke.
Don't scream into the mic.
Oh, I'm going to do it very quietly. I actually listen to myself. It turns out I'm obnoxiously loud.
it's actually not part of the charm.
John, I have a question for you.
Yes, Josh, what's your question?
Why does a pirate use a telephone?
I don't know, Josh. Why does a pirate use a telephone?
To make booty calls!
We need to have Colin over here clapping wildly.
We do need Colin's in.
I like it.
I don't think you actually like it.
What was it you were saying, John?
Everyone hates it.
Due to popular demand, the crew from episode 160 is spinning off into a new sitcom.
Whoa. New sitcom. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be like that Joey thing.
There's going to be a sweet laugh track. You're all going to want to blow your brains out.
I mean,
oh my God, you need to laugh track that cast. One time.
Why do you need to laugh track? Shut up.
I mean, it's not hard to laugh track something. You're just Big Bang Theory and play nonstop laugh track the entire episode.
They need one of those sweet 90s sitcom, like, TGIF, like, 30-second intros with, like, the jaunty music.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
we have just gained so many people that are part of the cast, and since we're down to one a week, and since I've not laughed so hard as I did on the way home, when we were on the way home from TempoCon, as a matter of fact, Nigel liked that cast so much, he made us listen to it twice.
Fact.
You liked it so much, he's going to move here.
Yeah. But we actually
on that podcast?
Wow. We actually listened. It was great. Honestly, and the best thing about that podcast was you guys had such a good natural rapport. I think it's going to be awesome. Like, it was great. That and Counter Slam.
No, Auto Slam.
Auto Slam. Yeah, I mean, it'll be a new role. But
it looked pretty legit.
It sounds pretty legit.
That might be a recurring.
You can put it on the preamble, Chad. All right. Chad would like to bring Nigel in here to tell a second pirate joke.
Jesus, this is the worst.
I didn't even finish my announcement.
Don't poo-poo this, you bastard. All right. John, I got a question for you.
Hold on.
All right. Well, what be your question?
That wasn't as good.
What's the difference between a syphilitic whore and your mother?
Jesus.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but tell your mother she should be seeing a doctor.
How is that a pirate joke? The really terrible pirate accent is what made it a pirate joke.
Nigel's pirate jokes are better than Josh's pirate
jokes. It's because Nigel kind of gets the whole spirit of the pirate joke.
Oh my God.
Which is, you say something ridiculous and add
yarr. Oh boy! Keep up with us on Facebook,
wait,
Twitter.
What about John's announcement.
Anyway, the new podcast is starting. It's going to have a lineup of Colin, Lance, Fox, and Crump. Right.
Yep. And then rotating guests as they come along.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
And then we'll continue to have this podcast.
I give it 1 week.
As long as it has a segment, what does the fox say? I will
no,
be.
No. Actually, we could make that an actual segment. Say? As long as we don't actually like do that.
No, you have to play the music as a bumper just to drive.
We will get sued big time.
I will pay for the suit.
They'll sue us big time.
I mean, honestly, we're just going to get it cease and desist. It's not going to be
keep us up, keep us, blue back. Keep up with us on Facebook and Twitter.
Unlike Chan Attack.
Keep an eye on our Mise en Mini's store updates. Should be coming soon.
Yeah, I think the laser will be operational within the next week.
So.
And then stuff will start showing up in the store again.
Estoy cargando mi laser.
The laser will be operational.
You will find this laser fully operational.
It's armed and fully operational. Battle station. This has been Keith.
That could have been perfect.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Lance. It's Chad.
Crumb.
And John. Colin, really?
Quack, quack.
And the Ducker, Lance, thanks for listening, Lance. It says on the script.
When Chad, or when John says the laser will be full, please just cut in the Emperor saying that.
If I can find it, I will.
Perhaps you have underestimated the firepower of this fully operational laser.
Battle station.
That's what he said.
Ta.
Yeah.
Oh, man, actually, I kind of want a Death Star now. All right, I'm out.
Bye. I'm Craig Ferguson. I want to be Craig Ferguson.
All right, I'm Conan O'Brien. Yes!
I think Craig Ferguson's better.
What? Fine.
Switch.
I scrapped a mic that was literally right here.
Yeah, my mic.
I assumed it was mine.
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 Yeah, that's how we should start the podcast.
The seagulls.
Finding Nemo seagulls?
You don't like Finding Nemo? Get the fuck out.
All right, quick aside. Has anybody seen the Lego movie yet?
Yeah, it's super legit. Nope.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
If you could see it, it would look legit.
Colin has seen it, and it was legit.
No, it is really
there
legit.
Is a part.
I heard that it's like the highest rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, 97%.
I mean, that's what everyone keeps saying.
Yeah,
it is hilarious, legitimately hilarious.
Right, I want to see it.
Everything is awesome.
Morgan Freeman is the best character in the entire.
Not
show.
Liam Neeson.
He's pretty good in that.
I heard
too.
That Lego Batman is pretty much the best.
Billy Dee Williams is pretty amazing too.
Billy Dee Williams.
Yep.
Lando.
Yeah, Lando.
He just is as Lando for like. Because, like, the Millennium Falcon flings in for, like, a scene, and he's just like, hey, I'm Lando, and then, like, the fucking Falcon flies off. It's just like,
No, it's not, hey, I'm Lando, it's, hey, baby.
Yeah.
What's going on? Like, he literally starts hitting on the,
Lando.
I was going to say on the chick, but then that would trigger Chad to say his catchphrase.
Signature catchphrase.
So
that's not misogynistic.
Nothing wrong.
I can call him a chickie? Chick?
What?
Another chick? That's fine.
I don't think that's...
All right.
Mm. I mean, can... It's like guy. It's like the same sort of slang.
I mean, I don't think that's an extremely derogatory word, but sure. Maybe it is. I don't know.
They're like
I've
chickens.
Been told that before. But
so they're weak. Like baby chicks. Just crush them with my hands. Because they're weak. Because they're women.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
That makes sense.
No reaction.
And ergo, now a derogatory term.
I follow that logic.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, mad props to the AY. There is a video online called...
Oh, we're recording.
User Hands and Dance by the AY. I think there's a link on our forums. You guys should definitely all go check it out. It is
get the
hilarious.
Guys more views.
Yeah.
It was 19,000, was it on the
That's
other?
A lot. That's like, I don't know. How much does Miley Cyrus get? Like five.
More than she should.
At like least 25,000.
At least 25,000.
God, I hope not that much.
No, she gets way more than that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure if he was twerking, he probably would have been fine. Like, he probably had a million views.
We need to get a video of Colin twerking online.
That would get...
Instant viral classic.
Yep. Just take that Charles Foster III clip and... Put it on YouTube.
Of him grinding up on him at his wedding?
Yep.
Yeah.
What episode are we on? Oh, it's written up here at the top. And it says Lance.
Yes.
163 Lance. Hey, where'd my thingy go? I need a thingy.
Do you have a script?
Yeah, I think John took my script. Oh, found my script. Is that the script?
What's that right there? Is that the script?
How'd you know he was going to a hangar?
Wrong with your face.
God damn it, those are... Go watch the Indiana Jones one, god damn it.
It's not on YouTube.
No, they're on the site. Like, go to Red Letter Media, and there's a...
That seems like a lot of work.
It's not our YouTube Star Wars review. Don't go to the computer, turn around, and say, all right, I guess I'm just going to be Crump now.
Crump.
I have two mics.
Finish your Hearthstone draft.
No, do not finish. No. No.
Oh, holy crap, it isn't on YouTube. That's weird.
We tried to find it.
Why didn't you go to the website?
Because we were on a television that did not have web browsing capabilities. It only had YouTube capabilities.
This is not an unusual circumstance.
My brain just what? What?
That's how crappy internet televisions work.
Right.
Yeah. Internet television uses the internet.
So yours isn't the crappy internet television. It's a regular internet television.
Congratulations, you're part of the 1%.
This was like a...
Nice. Fucking nice.
This was like an LG or something.
No.
Who are you missing?
Hello and welcome, is what John would normally say.
Bienvenidos.
When we start.
Hello, please. Welcome to Mies Armenes. Episode 163.
Screaming.
That poor woman.
All right.
John Damaris.
I think it's...
Is that a quote?
Yes, the John Damaris part was attributing the quote.
Attributing the quote? Okay.
I believe the full quote was, we all jumped out of the car
squirting and
screaming.
That poor woman.
No, it's... That makes... It makes way more sense as squirting and screaming, that poor woman. We jumped out of the car, doesn't...